The 3 o'clock hour is brought to you by Trane Heating and Air Conditioning.
To the middle of the field, there is an interception. Xavier Woods, left sideline, 50. Still going 40. Cuts inside. You should have gone out of bounds. That's all right. 28-yard return. They blitz. Handoff Elliott. Here he goes to the 30. Turns left at the 25 and dragged down at the 18. Caught from behind by Buffet in the Sherwin-Williams red zone. 19 for Elliott, right into the teeth of the blitz.
He's walking to the 3. He's at the 2. And the cat is in the CDW red zone. CDW, people who get it field. And the cat runs into the end zone. That is a touchdown.
The first thing that crossed my mind, no joke, is like, they got bad luck. Now it just turned on them, you know. So I was like, man, the game over. Like, if a black cat runs on the damn field Monday night football game, a black cat, like, you know, I'm gonna call it quits, bro. Like, y'all luck is terrible.
Live from the Petty Clinic Low T Studio, this is You Make the Call on ESPN Central Texas. Here's David Smoke and Paul Catalina.
All right, here we go. This 3 o'clock hour. The Mahia Black Cats were featured last night on Monday Night Football. Yeah. Interesting, on the same day we had the young man, the linebacker from Mahia. But the Cowboys last night dominate the Giants. It was shaky early. They made the kind of mistakes early in a game like that on the road that can get you in trouble. The Giants were just so inept, there's just not much they could do about it. And the Cowboys defense slowly but surely just strangled them and beat up Jones. And other than one play, they completely shut down Saquon Barkley in a play that almost cost him. But Michael Bennett made plays immediately. You look at Amari Cooper, breaks the game open. Another, remember, trade from a year ago about this time, a little bit earlier than. And Zeke Elliott may have had, as he even said in the postgame, as easy 140 yards. I kept saying this, and I knew you were going to throw the ball. I know you have to do that. I think Zeke last night was set up the way that game was going. Give him the ball 30, 35 times, he rushes for 300 yards. There was nothing that the Giants could do. On occasion, they would stop him. He was running angry. He was running sometimes free, and if there was a collision, he usually won the collision. That's one of the games where I just wish they could have handed the ball. And yes, they still were able to get the ball to other receivers. He was a difference maker again.
They got him for a 3-yard loss at one point in the early third quarter on a handoff. And honestly, the look on their faces, oh my God, how did that work? What do we do?
Yeah, Cowboys are now 12-1 in their last 13 games against the NFC East. Do you remember the last time they lost to an NFC East team?
It would have been the Redskins last year.
Yes, when they were off to a nice start under Alex Smith. Since that time,
On the weirdest false start ever.
Is it? Well, that doesn't mean they win the game.
No, but I mean, that was when they lost.
And that was the last loss. Mm-hmm. What is that a compliment to the Cowboys, or is that a disrespect and a look at, God, the NFC East is just bad?
I think the NFC East is bad. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to discredit the Giants or credit the Cowboys too much. I think the NFC East is pretty average at best.
Yeah, I think you got to give Dallas credit because they've made enough decisions personnel wise. They've made enough of a lot of things to be better, to be overall better than Philly. Now, at the same time, it was just a couple of years ago when the Eagles won the World Championship and that great ride that they had to beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Cowboys are 12-1 in their last 13 games against the NFC East. Dak Prescott now on the road against Philadelphia, New York, and Washington. 8-2. One loss on the road, I guess, was the Giants. Was that right? And one loss on the road was that game a year ago against Washington when he takes the majority of snaps. There was one game, I don't know when it was, that he may not have taken all the snaps because they were trying to just kind of relax a little bit. I don't know. 254-662-1660. Your thoughts on the Bush's Chicken text line? The Cowboys, give me three thoughts from last night's game. My three thoughts are this. And the first one, what I just asked you, and it's kind of more of a question than it is a thought. What is it? Is it the Dallas is that dominant, that good, or is the NFC East just really... And that's not to take away. You know what you want to do? You want to win the division. If you end up with the best record, then you host playoff games. You're going to do that if you win the division anyway. That's got to be one of your media goals, right? And then the other one was Michael Bennett. We have a sack. He had two tackles behind the line of scrimmage. You could see that he's going to have a limited amount of snaps, but Paul, when he's in the game, there's an addition.
Mm-hmm.
There's an addition. And my third was about Zeke Elliott in the running game. There were holes at times that all of us in this room, Patrick, Garrett, Paul, you and me, we could all have gained yardage. They were so huge. And then, yes, Zeke was playing and running very, very violent. College football playoff release tonight, the first of whatever you want to call it. I will just watch the Twitter reaction to it. I will not watch the show. I think Baylor's going to look pretty good in it. I do. But it doesn't matter. I don't know what they're going to say about Oklahoma. I know pretty much that Ohio State and Alabama and LSU and Clemson will be the four teams in some specific order. And I'm okay with that. I'm not going to argue with that because it doesn't matter. If somebody was to join and like a fly in the ointment, so what? Because we have learned it really doesn't matter. But they want you to jump all in on this. Almost like it's a political polling. And we've seen what happened with the 2016 presidential election when it comes to the polling, when Donald Trump becomes president. And yet, oh, my God, it was like, and you do have to wonder, was that really the polling or was that just they're trying to say, hey, there's no reason to vote the rest of the day? Because that's also been thought of. So why it's interesting. College football, I'm not a big polls guy. When it comes to even the weekly poll, I mentioned Baylor's 10-1 poll. Ever another, Oklahoma's in the top 10. You know, they go back and forth on who's number one. We'll find out more about that this week in Tuscaloosa. So your three thoughts from the Cowboys' win last night against the Giants. Why are they so dominant in the East? Why are they are dominate. Think about this. They're 12-1 against the teams they have to beat to win a division. And yes, there's other games they have to play. There's 10 other games on their schedule. But when you go 5-1 pretty much every year, 4-2 almost every year, you're going to most likely win the division and be in the playoffs. Also, Baylor men's basketball opened up today with a very nice, impressive, yes, Central Arkansas, but it was what Pat Nunley over and over and over and over again kept saying about this team with so many scores. They're very unselfish. It's early. They have Washington coming up. They'll be tested immediately. Lady Bears unfurl another national championship banner. And also, it'll be like a box of jewelry for every player because of the rings that they're going to receive as well. So give us three things that you thought about following Dallas 37 and the Giants 18. 254-662-1660. Daniel, we start with you. Good afternoon on ESPN Central Texas.
Thank you, Smokey. Enjoy your show as usual.
Thank you.
Hey, you know, it's amazing. The 49ers barely beat the Redskins. They barely beat the Cardinals, but yet they're the number one team in the power rankings. Nobody says, they've had to beat them by 100. No, they're just so dominant. And then the Cowboys, they barely win, but, oh, my God, they should be beating, you know, because they're Dallas. That's the way it is. And I guess one other thing I'd like to ask y'all, I know that Lamar Jackson is having some success, but I would be curious to know if a lot of the listeners would prefer still Dak Prescott over a Lamar Jackson type. I think I would still take Dak, big guy. And I can't help but think that Lamar Jackson, with all that running, you know, is just one hit away.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Dak, I mean, all the quarterbacks are one hit away. But he even puts himself in more peril with one hit away because he's constantly running like another running back. And we know that the lives are so short and with running backs compared to all the other ones. And then one other thing, guys, I was kind of curious, why is it that the wide receivers are so divas in the wide receivers, but you don't ever hear that with the running backs crying all the time? Any input?
Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate the call. Well, I mean, you have some drama queens when it comes to running backs. Le'Veon Bell, I think, can be thought of that, right? Yeah. Although he was fantastic.
But they don't ever have to complain about the ball. They maybe complain about money because they're going to get the ball. And if you're a lead dog running back, then they're going to hand you the ball 20 times a game no matter what. Wide receivers get to be and sound like divas because they have to. That's kind of almost what they have to do, but they have to call for the ball all the time.
They're on more of an island.
Yeah. So they're saying, like, if you throw it to me, I'm going to make something happen. You're almost campaigning all the time. And so I think sometimes that because they are campaigning, it leads to a bit more of a diva thing. Or, because they make flashy plays. Now, not everybody can be Julio Jones and Amari Cooper, who really don't say much. Of course, they're saving guys. So maybe that's just worked out of them in Tuscaloosa.
Wide receivers always been that way?
Kind of. Like, even Jerry Rice. I mean, Jerry Rice wasn't flashy, but if you asked him, do you want the ball? He's going to say, yeah,
give me the
ball.
That's not what I meant, though. Jerry Rice was never, ever, ever. Did you ever consider him a diva?
No, diva. But there's always going to be wide receivers.
There's a difference between diva and passionate.
Yeah.
Michael Irvin was not a diva, in my opinion.
Terrell Owens is a diva. Odell Beckham Jr. is a diva.
Yeah. Great question,
Chad Johnson was a diva.
We'll let others try to answer that as well. 254-662-1660. On the Cowboys and winning, let me tell you, in college football, it becomes more of a beauty pageant. That's the way it is. That's what you'll hear tonight if you watch that show about who has more big wins or who has a better schedule. That's not really a beauty pageant. That's just kind of ways to crunch numbers. But you watch. If someone wins a close game and it's somebody that's part of the country club, it's different than if somebody who's trying to join the country club and they win a close game, and then you start picking that apart. And I mean that in a very, very respectful way. In college football, it can be more of a beauty pageant because there's not a true playoff. There is where Mary Harden Baylor's Division III. There is where Tarleton State is in Division II, right? Mm-hmm. There is when it comes to what might happen with La Vega this year, or what might happen with other high schools this year. That is a true playoff. You get four teams in each district to get in. Class 1A, you get two. But there's a true playoff. In college football, there's four. Even though you really kind of say this playoff begins with the first weekend of college football in August, it's still not truly a playoff. It's better than what it was, I think. In the NFL, you earn every single little on the left-hand side of the win-loss column. And my God, you just put them on there, and you just add them together, and it's sometime in mid-December or late November, right about Thanksgiving or so, you go, okay, we're in this thing. And then you still have pretty much a true playoff. It doesn't matter in the NFL whether you win 21-20 and you're lucky, or you win 42-6 and you dominate somebody. You advance. In college football, it's more of a beauty pageant. Todd, good afternoon, 314 on ESPN Central Texas.
Yeah, good.
Hey, Todd, we can't hear you very well. I'm sorry. Let's try to see if we can go ahead and hang up. Todd, see if you can call us back. Last time we had you, we kind of had you in a little bit of that in between. I know you're out and about in the country as well, so hopefully we get you called back. We'll have Macy O'Teague here in a minute, Baylor. Basketball player Paul spoke with him following Baylor's win today against Central Arkansas. TCU today, Gary Patterson on the quarterbacks. Max Duggan, very much wait and see. I think that's exactly what they don't really know. Delton is out of the program.
Yeah.
He's a transfer from Kansas State. I thought he was going to end up being their starter. It didn't work out. He's leaving. There is a chance if things don't go well, and it depends on what Max Duggan, who's given them a spark on offense.
Mm-hmm. He can run.
He can run it. He can throw it. He's got some blank in his neck. I mean, this guy, he's a guy that you could rally around. There's a chance they would have to go 3-4 deep, 5 deep on their depth chart. But guess what? What happened a year ago at McLean Stadium? Was their starting quarterback healthy?
No.
And then what happened to Collins?
Yeah, he got hurt.
And here comes someone else and led him to a win. And was gutty about it, too. Mm-hmm. It wasn't Rabachik. What's the guy's name, Paul? Garrett, you remember his name? Where's Steven Simcox, our horny frog, huh? He came in. He's been a part of the program, and he gutted him out.
Yeah.
He made some plays. He wasn't spectacular. He made
a screen pass to Jalen Reagor.
Yes.
That's all he needed to do.
And he did what he had to do.
Look, sometimes you just need to throw the ball about 7 yards, and the other guy can do the rest.
Yes. I think he actually, whether or not he went to West High School, it sounds like he could have. Or Rogers okay. or Lexington, right? Mm-hmm. You have the box score from that game last year. Any way you guys can figure that out? And this is with all due respect. He was good. He was good enough at when he had to be and helped TCU win. They went deep into their depth chart last year. 3-16 when we come back. Macy Oteague, Paul, had a chance to visit with the Baylor Bear after their win against Central Arkansas. Oh, my goodness. The score was 105
to 61.
To 61. At one point, it was 22-0 to start the game. Baylor wins women's basketball tonight, 5:30 here. Pre-game, 6 o'clock is the tip. This is ESPN Central Texas.
At Community Bank and Trust, we continue to add new and improved features to our mobile and digital banking systems. Our new person-to-person payment system allows our customers to instantly send money to friends and family, no matter where they bank. Customers using our debit card just log in online, input the friend's cell phone number or email address, and the money will be sent P2P to them. With Community Bank and Trust, enjoy state-of-the-art banking anywhere, anytime, on any device. Member FDIC.
Now is your chance to get the unstoppable performance of a new Trane system for your home. At Trane, they test so it runs. Through November 15th, get special financing for 60 months and rebates up to $500 on a qualifying Trane system. Visit traininfo.com to find your local dealer. It's hard to stop a Trane. Subject to credit approval.
Shorty's Pizza Shack at 12th at Bagby is a super, super fun place to eat, super delicious place to eat. Whether you're getting some of their delicious New York-style pizza, which I love, it folds over, the big old slices, man, that's great. Or if you're getting, say, a pizza pillow, which is kind of like a calzone, or maybe you're getting some of their fantastic, some of the best chicken wings I've ever had, big, meaty, hearty chicken wings. I like the Sikkim sauce. Ask them. It's on the secret menu. It's okay. I reveal the secret. It's fine. The Sikkim sauce is fantastic. Shorty's Pizza Shack at 12th and Bagby also has great, great specials, whether it's drink specials for happy hour, dine-in, or carry-out specials. You can go in there, take the whole family. It is always a blast. It's just such a fun place to hang out. I love Shorty's Pizza Shack. Go on in, try it for lunch. Two slices and a drink for $5.95. You cannot beat that deal. Shorty's Pizza Shack at 12th and Bagby. Tell them Paul sent you by.
How many trucks are running around Central Texas without any masculinity? Just look at the road and you'll see. With many, there's nothing there. Not one accessory. And that's what's really toxic. Sadly, truck nudity affects thousands of Central Texas trucks. But it doesn't have to be that way because it's a fully treatable condition. At Pickup Outfitter Labs, our R&D department has been working hard on this problem, and I'm excited to announce a stunning breakthrough. It's our own patented treatment called PO. Now, anyone suffering from truck nudity can get PO'd. Need a bed cover? Get PO'd. Need a hitch? Get PO'd. Need a bumper, toolbox, or grill guard? You guessed it, get PO'd. At Pickup Outfitters, we're making real progress, but we need your help. Do you know someone who needs to get PO'd? Send them to Pickup Outfitters for treatment. Our recovery center is located at 220 Lake Air Drive in Waco. See our educational video on our website at createacommotion.com. That's createacommotion.com.
Miller Lite is brewed for every Cowboys fan who knows Miller Lite has been the only beer of the Cowboys since day one. Because when it comes to your team and your beer, you never compromise. That's why we brew Miller Lite with great taste and only 96 calories. Miller Lite. Hold true. Celebrate responsibly. 2018 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas. Average analysis, 12 fluid ounces, 96 calories, 3.2 grams carbs, less than 1 gram protein, and 0 grams fat.
Total Office Solutions is one of the largest locally owned and operated commercial furniture dealers in Central Texas. Their staff of consultants provide project management, layout, design, and turnkey installations. Whether you need chairs, desks, or a complete furniture renovation, Total Office Solutions is your provider of all steel, Hahn, JSI, and Gundlach furniture. Total Office Solutions, where customer service and satisfaction is their number one goal. 3721 Franklin Avenue in Waco, 254-235-8200, and at mytotaloffice.com.
It's University Kia's birthday, and we're celebrating with the Black Friday sales event. University Kia is celebrating another year in business, and we're pulling out all the stops this holiday season to save you more. Come in today and check out our huge selections of new Kias, and enjoy our easy and no-hassle car buying experience. And don't forget to ask a team member about our exclusive VIP Advantage program. University Kia, you'll enjoy our way of doing business. Off 535, exit Valley Mills and LaSalle Avenue, university-kia.com.
Have you been tagged yet again in an engagement ring photo? Are hints being dropped all around you? Rest assured, D'Amore Fine Jewelers has been rescuing men seeking the perfect ring for over 25 years. Come in with a picture of her dream ring and we'll make it a reality. With our 5-year financing, custom design team, and selection of diamonds, we'll make the whole process fun and enjoyable. D'Amore Fine Jewelers on West Waco Drive.
H 321 is the time. Cowboys 37, Giants 18. Your thoughts on the Bush's Chicken text line. We're about to read some of those. Your three thoughts are what you came out of that game. Three things that you want to say, what you either like the most or even maybe one or two you like and something that concerns you a little bit. Also, Baylor earlier today dominates Central Arkansas in their opening game, 105-61. Paul was there and had a chance to talk to Maceo Teague. He redshirted last year. Today, scored 18 points, 7 of 12 from the field, 4 of 6 shooting threes. Baylor was 18 of 33 shooting threes. And as Pat Nunley mentioned, they also had 25 assists. So that's a great ratio. Here's Maceo Teague with Paul Catalina.
Maceo, your first game, 18 and 10, 3 assists. I mean, double-double. I mean, that seems like maybe you were a little anxious to get out there and play against somebody else again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was pretty anxious to go out there and play against somebody else. Spent the last like 600 days playing against the same people, the same team, so it's been a joy playing against someone else.
For people who've never had to experience that, what is that like to have to fight? Because you want to play basketball, you want to compete against other people, to have to sit there and wait has got to be really tough.
Yeah, it's pretty tough, but it wasn't like a Tristan Clark incident where he got hurt last year. Like, I knew going into the season I would be sitting out, so it was easier to deal with.
There's so much chemistry between these guards with everybody, but with the guards and everything, it looked like today you guys had been playing together, not just the first game. This is like the 10th, 12th, 20th game you guys played together. How much of that is built over the summer and the workouts, and how much did it feel natural to you when you first started playing with these guys?
I felt very natural playing with the guards. We all have a principle of sharing the ball, just trying to get each other shots, and it'll come back around. So we really love playing with each other and enjoy sharing the ball with each other, so we don't have any selfish guys.
This fast-paced style that you guys are playing, not only on offense but on defense, you get really after it. I mean, Davion's super aggressive on defense. Everybody's aggressive on defense. How much fun is that style to play, and where did you start to find that maybe that was the style you guys are going to be?
That's a tremendous style to play for us because it gives us a chance to get involved more. But it also gives like guys a better chance to get in a game too, because guys get tired quicker because we're running up and down the floor so fast. So I don't remember that other part of the question.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, you're a shooter. I mean, you can tell you love to shoot, and I've heard King told me that you shoot a lot when you're practicing. How many would you say you shoot? Like, do you have a number in your head of how many shots you take a day?
Yeah, I do have a number, but I can't give my secrets away.
You can't give your secret. That's a secret. Okay. So, but do you feel it early in the game that you have it or don't have it? Like you had it today, especially from long range.
Not necessarily. If it goes in, I feel like I have it, but even if I miss a few early, I still feel like I'll get going eventually. I feel like every shot I shoot is going, the next one will go in. So,
were there nerves for this game for you, for first game out with Baylor?
Surprisingly, there weren't as many nerves. Like, I was anxious to play the game, but I remember my freshman year in college, I was way more nervous to play than I was today.
Was today more just kind of a hungry thing? Like, let me go out there and hunt?
I wouldn't say hunt is the word, but I was very hungry. I was very hungry to go play the game today.
How much are you looking forward to a trip like Washington this week? That's in Alaska, something, a unique experience. You've already been to Italy. It's just something that maybe you wouldn't normally get to do if you weren't a college basketball player.
Yeah, besides basketball, it gives us all the opportunity to bond and create memories that'll last a lifetime. So I'm looking forward to that. I know a guy who plays at the school that we're playing at, that he's not on Washington, he plays at whatever university that we're mm-hmm. playing at, and he goes there, so I'll get the chance to see him. So haven't seen him in like 5 years, so it'll be a great experience.
That's Maceo Teague, 18 points in his debut with Baylor. He's had to wait and wait and wait and be patient like many others do in college basketball. All right, so one of the notes last night, that's Maceo Teague. If you got a chance to watch Baylor, 1-0, they play Washington up in Anchorage. They have that. Is it the up in Anchorage, Alaska, coming up on Friday? That will be one heck of a tough test for them. So last night, 9-3 Giants. First play of the game, pick. Giants get a field goal. You cannot beat Dallas. Well, I mean, the Jets maybe, or the Saints, but you have to, with their offense, normally you're going to have to score touchdowns. You're going
to did score touchdowns.
I know.
Yeah.
If you're going to get four trips in the red zone, two scores, two field goals, that's pretty good. And the Cowboys' defense in the red zone has become really, really stingy. And it was a lot of it because of how they played, but also it seemed like the Giants like to throw three-yard passes to stodgy tight ends.
If you're going to get the ball at the 12-yard line on the first play of the game, you got to score a touchdown on the by the fourth or fifth play of the game.
Yeah, that didn't
you
do
can't,
it.
You can't just kick a field goal, because then essentially that wiped away that interception.
Well, to me, the biggest play of the game was Jarwin, or even the Jones pick at the end of the half that leads to the field goal. But Jarwin, it's 9-3.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of just floats wide open, and he has tremendous speed down the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
10-3, it's 13-12 Dallas at halftime, and it seemed like they should be down by 8 or 10.
Mm-hmm.
So then 9-3 is the score, and the Black Cat comes on. This is a dude now. I don't know if it was a male or female. Had to be a male, right? Nothing wrong with a pretty athletic.
No, but like,
this was a dude.
It was a feral cat.
Yeah. It was, Garrett, it looked like a black bear to me.
Oh, yeah. It was massive.
It had eaten how many rats?
At least two that day.
That day. Kind of like when a boa constrictor or a python, they get, like, they feed them and they got the big, they got the big knots in their stomach.
Here's what I thought. He had a big dinner and he thought, I need to go somewhere. I got to work this off.
Yeah, he's going to have
a
workout.
I got to take a stroll. Yeah.
I out there all the time. What the hell are all these lights on? And there's people. Well, this is a dude. Now, Kevin Harlan from Westwood One. Mm. Does the play-by-play. We have him on almost every year during Radio Row at the Super Bowl. Here's Kevin Harlan's description of the cat.
He's walking to the three. He's at the two. And the cat is in the CDW red zone. CDW, people who get it now, a policeman, a state trooper has come on the field. And the cat runs into the end zone. That is a touchdown. And the cat is elusive, kind of like Barkley and Elliott. But he didn't know where to go. Look at, they're trying to corner him. And they got him in the end zone. There are state troopers all around this cat, which now climbs up into the stands. And the fans are running for their life. Now it goes back on the field again. And it's running in the back of the end zone. And it runs up the tunnel.
Oh, my God, that was hilarious. Kevin Harlan's fantastic. I was sitting there watching the game, had turned the sound down, listened partly with what the Cowboys broadcast is with Babe and Brad and Christy Scales, and I saw that pop up. And then I saw videos. Stacey Dales, who's an ESPN reporter, played at Oklahoma women's basketball. Stacey Dales puts up a picture, a video, and this started hitting the Twitter line of those people at home watching the game on TV with animals. Did you see that, Garrett?
I seen that. The one I seen that really cracked me up was the one with the three black cats.
Three black cats up on the screen, and they're like, oh, look, there's our brother.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whoever. And Stacey Dales hit these two dogs, and they start, they're like looking at, they see the cat. And there were pictures or videos after videos. Now, after the game, obviously that became kind of, it's 9-3 Giants, and the Cowboys shredded them after that. It's, Paul, who was it? Was it the Cubs or the Red Sox? Who was it that had the black cat or something that walked across the field in a baseball game?
The Red Sox, the 1975. Red Sox.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, DeMarcus Lawrence, and thank God for the bleep, here's DeMarcus Lawrence of the black cat after the game.
The first thing that crossed my mind, no joke, is like, they got bad luck. Now it just turned on them, you know. So I was like, man, the game over. Like, if a black cat runs on the damn field on a Monday night football game, a black cat, like, you might as well call it quits, bro. Like, y'all luck is terrible. So, yeah, it was just bad luck, and yeah, that was it.
Or good luck.
I hate cats too, so it's like. Hurry up and get this cat before it gets to me, you know.
Oh, God. I love how honest he was. You know, there are some. I had cats all the time when I was growing up and really had some until, you know, the last 8 or 10 years. But I always love cats. Love Siamese cats. They'll talk back to you, give you a little attitude. Some people can't stand cats. Some people like dogs. Some people like cats. Some people like both. The Bush's Chicken text line. I knew Bennett would fit right in. His rapport with Chris Richard. NFC East is trash, unfortunately. Boys win division easily, But as long as they stay healthy, they can go deep in the playoffs. It's not all I will have to say is to look to, is to look at the Jets' only win. 3 points on the Cowboys is a boring answer. It's not sexy, but the reality is one, division win. Two, hello, people, this is the NFL, not always easy to win on the road. Three, Cowboys haters are quiet again this week. Thanks, guys. Snack cake man. And also another one, I thought the bet, I thought the Black Cat incident was the Chicago Cubs' Kevin from Fort Worth, and maybe it was. All right, no, there you go. But see, here's another example. They go into New York, win a division game, 37-18. At times it wasn't pretty, but they won, and you want to pick it apart. Not everybody. You just win the game. Man, I'm to a point where I just wish my team would score. And you're some people worried about what the score is. Just win, baby. This is ESPN Central Texas.
If you want the best wings and pizza in Central Texas with an energetic atmosphere, look no further than Wings Pizza and Things in Temple, a smoke-free family environment committed to serving fresh, made-to-order food. There are dozens of large-screen, high-definition TVs to watch everything in sports, including, of course, the NFL and college football. Wings Pizza and Things serves only top-quality, large wings with 16 flavors, including their new Rim Reaper. All sandwiches come with fries, tots, or side salad, and delicious New York-style pizza. Wings Pizza and Things, celebrating 13 years strong in the Temple Town Center on the Southwest Dodge and Loop in Temple.
Exciting things are happening in Waco right here at American Bank. We're committed to the future of our community, investing in more ways to serve you online and face-to-face. That's why we expanded our downtown branch, and now we're building new, state-of-the-art facilities at our Woodway and Belmead locations. More than just banks, our branches are meeting spaces where you can connect one-on-one with a local banker. We look forward to seeing you here now and for years to come. Experience face-to-face banking today at American Bank. Member FDIC.
Okay, so what's the most important part about your house? Nope, it's not that bar or the theater room with that sound system. Think about it. The most important thing is your roof. It has to withstand all that Mother Nature can throw your way. So it makes sense to have the best. McAdams & Sons Roofing is your first choice when it comes to protecting that valuable asset. Experienced professionals using only the best materials. So for new construction, re-roofs, repairs, or remodels, for composition and metal roofs, think McAdams & Sons Roofing first. And now McAdams & Sons Roofing is installing seamless gutters to give your home a bright new look and added value. McAdams & Sons Roofing will come out and take a look at your roof and handle all the insurance process for you. Don't let any fly-by-night company look at your roof. Let a real professional you trust do the work. Put McAdams & Sons over 40 years experience to work for you. Check it out at McAdamsRoofing.com. That's McAdamsRoofing.com. Or give them a call today at 254-799-2949. Because you don't want a kid with your house's lid.
It's Matt Mosley Show, brought to you by Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics, your Central Texas Chevy Truck headquarters. Check out November Fall Savings at Jim Turner Chevrolet. Stop in today or visit us online at turnerchevy.com for the best deal on your new Chevrolet.
Football season has merged with hunting season. Waco Custom Marketplace, your one-stop shop for tailgating, deer season, and fall as they continue to offer fully cooked brisket smoked in-house. A fall family box with 5 pounds of ground beef, 5 pounds of 6-ounce chicken breast, and 5 pounds of boneless pork chop for $40. Deer camp box with a pound of jalapeno or regular summer sausage, pound of cheddar cheese, roll of crackers, pound of bacon, pound of breakfast patties, and 2 pieces of sirloin steak for $25. The fall box with 5 pounds of ground chili meat, 5 pounds of stew meat, and 3 pounds of boneless beef roast. And there's the fall snack box, $15, including a piece of summer sausage, pound of cheddar cheese, pound of pepper jack cheese, and a roll of Ritz crackers. The fall savings steak box, including 6 ribeye steaks, 4 New York strips, 2 pieces of sirloin steak, and beef fillets for just $100. And you can start your day with fresh kolaches, baked daily and fresh. It's your one-stop shop for all your tailgating needs. The friendliest, fastest grocery store in Waco. Waco Custom Marketplace, 425 Lake Air Drive in Waco.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Paul Catalina with your ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update. Servicing Central Texas since 1964. Glaff Ford, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, and Clifton. Where they say cars are like eggs, they're cheaper in the country. The Baylor men open their season today with a 105-61 blowout of Central Arkansas. Jared Butler, a career-high 30 points, 8 from 12 from beyond the arc. Newcomer Macy O'Teague had 18. He was 4 of 6 from 3. Devontae Bandu had 15. Freddie Gillespie, 14. Next up for the Bears, a road trip to Alaska where they'll take on the Washington Huskies. The defending national champion Lady Bears open their regular season tonight as well, hosting New Hampshire. They'll host a ring ceremony and raise the national championship banner in the pregame. You can hear the broadcast at 5:30 right here on your flagship for Baylor Athletics, ESPN Central Texas.
Sports Center every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas.
By the way, that TCU quarterback that came in when Collins went out, who was there because their starter was hurt, was Grayson Muhlstein. That's who it was. Wasn't anything fancy, but he came in and helped them, made a couple of plays. And, of course, Rager's the one that made two critical plays in that game, including the reverse. And TCU beat Baylor at McLean. All right, Paul, in 2009, I just ask you to randomly pick a game. Who won the game?
The Cowboys did.
Cowboys beat Kansas City 26-20. How many penalties in that game?
Total or for the Cowboys?
Cowboys.
13 for 90 yards.
They had 13 penalties for 90 yards. Yes. How many for Kansas City?
7 for 50 yards.
So most of those seem to be 5-yard penalties then, right? Probably yeah. A few. All right, well, that shoots a hole in what I'm about to say. And I'm not saying there are more penalties, or do you think there are more penalties now in the NFL than ever before?
I do. And plus,
how many last night? You know, I know this. How many?
I don't know.
18 penalties.
Yeah.
Now, in college football, they can run, each team might run 75 to 90 plays. In the NFL, as you know, it's a much shorter game. I did this last night. I said this last night. I will not complain about certain calls. Although, you know what? I feel bad for Will Hernandez. They were picking on him.
Okay. All right.
Is there any sense of humor in the studio?
No, I do.
I think 71 for the Giants is a sweet man.
He's a victim.
I mean, there's a lot of people.
He's
absolutely.
I'll tell you this.
There's not. They bullied him. He's such a sweet man.
I talked to Larry at the gym this morning about that. And I said, look, I thought there'd be more offsetting penalties because it's not like the Cowboys weren't being jerks, too.
I think that's gutless, though. I think offsetting penalties. When there's a scrum, somebody started it, and 71 was a victim.
Yeah, okay. But that has got to be the best. I mean, how that guy can be in the middle of all those
four scenarios.
Times,
yes.
And not once. You
know
would
why?
Think one time.
Because he was a victim.
He's innocent.
He slipped and shoved Woods.
You know, I bet you after the game he went and got that cat.
Yes.
Adopted it.
I need a friend. All right. No, seriously, though. I promise you I put this up. I put this up at 10:15 last night. Dear NFL, please, for the love of God and football, as we knew it, stop with all the penalty flags and let these incredible players play the damn game. Right before that, I had somebody send me this from Troy Aikman, of all people. Our league has a lot to address this offseason as consumer confidence continues to wane. What do you think he was referring to?
I think he's referring to the penalties.
Penalties are the quality.
I mean, I think the penalties hurt the quality.
It's
probably all.
Let's put it this way. If you take away, now again, Robert Quinn grabs a face mask. Unfortunately, he was helping. He was kind of having Xavier Woods' back.
Yeah.
And I liked what Dallas did. They came to the defense of their player. And it almost became kind of like a backstreet. Okay. You hit, you know, like one of your people, Paul. Mm-hmm. You shoot one of our guys, we shoot one of you. So, but here's what I take away. That penalty against Xavier Woods for taunting, then none of that other stuff really happens. So there's like five other personal fouls and unsportsmanlike penalty calls that don't get called. Take away the third down. Dallas is, you know, the game is still on the line. They throw the fade down the sideline to Amari Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
There's some contact. Did you think that was pass interference?
Not as much as I thought the reviewed pass interference that didn't get turned over was pass interference.
Okay, they need to right now, the NFL needs today, Roger Goodell needs to send a letter to everybody today. You can no longer, see what happened is America, just like we do politically, just like we do with anything that's anything, overreacted to the Rams and the Saints. It was a blown call, it was a terrible call. And it really killed the Saints.
Well,
but then what do? They have to then come up with a rule that you can question. What did I say from the beginning about questioning pass interference?
It's impossible.
So you know what the officials have done? The big middle finger.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Challenge it. Nope.
Well, and then the other thing is, it's not like the guys on the field are the ones who are not overturning it.
It's some dude in New York.
It's in New York.
Yeah.
So it's New York that also believe, like, so... The league office of officials has felt bullied, so sometimes I feel like, all right, we're going to sit here, look at the screen. What are you doing after the game? What's your flight?
But what also happens when you challenge pass interference? What's the process?
You challenge it. They send it to New York.
Does the game stop?
Yep.
Does the game stop to get the review?
Yes.
How long? Maybe 45 seconds to 2 or 3 minutes, right?
Yeah. Sometimes it can be fast. Sometimes it can be 5 minutes.
That's my problem. It's not whether or not you're trying to get the call right. It's the stoppages.
Well,
illegal
wonder,
hands in the face. Illegal contact. Defensive holding. I got a question for you. Dak Prescott had a great, a very important time. Scrambled for like 10, 12, 14 yards. And there was also an illegal hands to the face call. What did they do?
Defensive holding. Tacked it on.
Tacked it on.
Yeah.
How many offensive penalties that you commit are a loss of down?
Only a couple.
What?
So illegal forward pass is a loss of down.
I don't know if that's a loss of down. I know intentional grounding is a loss of down, but really it's not.
Yeah.
Because you were going to get sacked anyway.
Yeah.
So you lose the yardage and it's second down.
Yeah.
If it's third down, it was fourth down. So give me another offensive penalty where the defense can accept the penalty and it tacks on to the original play.
Not many. I can't think of one.
Other than a dead ball foul.
Yeah, I can't think of one.
How many penalties against the defense are an automatic first down?
Half of them.
Got an hour.
Half of them.
Pass interference.
Yeah. Illegal hands to the
face. Illegal hands to the face.
Defensive holding.
Defensive holding. Illegal contact.
Yeah.
Automatic first down. I'm going to keep harping on this. It'll never change. Third and 26. Pass interference at the point of contact. That makes sense. Why not just have pass interference now become wherever the pass interference occurred, mm-hmm. but you just add it, you replay the down.
Why not treat reviews like challenges? I mean, like
they do.
I mean, you only have a certain amount.
Like, they do. You only have. But Paul, would that? I'm throwing this out there. 254-662-1660. Help me out there. If in fact you have third and 26, and you mug Amari Cooper, which he could have caught an 80-yard touchdown, but you mug him, or you mug Golden
Tate.
But
if it's within. So if you mug him 27 yards, then you're going to get the first down.
Yeah. But if you mug him at 15,
it's third and 11.
It's second and 26, pass interference, 15 yards down the field. Why not second and 11?
Well, I'd be for that.
Illegal contact. Why is that a first down? It kind of can maybe shift his route, whatever. Mm. It's just, that's too many stoppages.
But see, with illegal contact, I'd rather have, if it's a 5-yard automatic first down, why isn't it? Automatic first down. Just make it that.
That's what I'm saying.
But just don't give them the yards. Just, it's an automatic first down. One or the other.
So if it's first and 17, let's say first and 17, you have defensive illegal contact against the defense 8 yards down the field.
It's first and 10 from that spot.
From the point of contact, like it would be with pass interference.
No, I'm saying first and 10 from where you snapped the ball before.
So if it's at the 17, first and 10 instead of first and 17 at the 17, it's first and 10.
Yeah.
Well, the yardage I get, I just don't understand why it's a first down. That's what I don't get. I don't, and I understand it's all about offense. People want to see points scored, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's too many automatic first downs on calls against the defense. Cowboys had some. Giants had some. I still think Will Hernandez should be NFL Man of the Year. It would bring some attention to the award.
I mean, he's such a shrinking violet.
I feel sorry for him. You know what? He was being picked on. You know what's funny? There's somebody listening right now. God, we hope, right, Paul? We hope there's somebody listening.
Yeah.
There's somebody, Garrett, listening right now who's getting angry with me for making Will Hernandez out to be a victim.
How is he not? Aren't we all?
First of all,
it's 2019.
I agree.
We're all a victim of something.
I'm telling you right now. I think Will Hernandez.
Victimhood is how we deal.
I think Will Hernandez is probably going to need therapy. Here's the thing.
I'm technically a victim of this conversation right now.
You are.
I mean, it's hurting me.
I'm going to be victim of the text line here in a minute. Pepe, good afternoon on ESPN Central Texas.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Just got off work, and I'm listening to what you're talking about. Now, my question is, too many men on the field on the defense, is that automatic first down or just 5-yard penalty?
I think it's just a 5-yard penalty.
Oh, golly, I don't know that.
I'll Google it.
I don't know that, Pepe.
And they couldn't give an explanation.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Let me check on that. We'll look that up. If anyone else knows it, there are certain penalties. See, there's another one. There's too many of them. Why can't you have 13 men on defense? If that's you know what? If you could sneak 13 out there, Garrett, why not use 13? It's a 5-yard penalty, automatic first down? 5 yard penalty from the point of the line of scrimmage. What on first? It's 3rd and 17. Garrett, illegal hands to the face, 5 yards down the field or at the line of scrimmage. Why is that an automatic first down? It's not face mask.
No,
it's illegal hands to the face.
I think that's what's called the deterrent penalty.
Okay,
they're trying to eliminate it. They never will, though.
No,
because part of the problem with illegal hands to the face is most of the time they don't mean to do it.
Did you see the penalty against who was the player Sunday who was diving at Deshaun Watson?
Oh, and missed him completely. And
this Florida State guy. It was one of your Florida State.
Yeah.
Buddies.
Oh, gosh.
Who did they play? Who did they play?
Played the Jaguars. It was
he played with Arizona for a while, right?
Yeah. Oh gosh. I almost said Darnell Dockett. It's not Darnell Dockett.
Okay. So Deshaun Watson is out in traffic. So here comes a defensive player with his head down to hit him, missed him.
Yeah.
And they called a penalty for lowering his helmet.
Yeah. But he whiffed completely.
He missed him.
Yeah.
Why?
He hit him with his.
It drives me crazy.
He hit him with his arm.
I understand you're trying to forget everything Florida State football, but that's part of the good old days, Paul. Why can't you remember the name?
Yeah.
I just don't know why illegal hands to the face and illegal contact aren't just the yardage, and you replay the down. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go. We got
Nick? It was a Miami guy, Calais Campbell.
Calais Campbell. Okay, he used to play with the Cardinals. I wish he was.
He was. I wish he was.
Yeah, all right, who do we have? Nick, good afternoon. Nick, how you doing?
I'm doing great. To your penalty talk, so why not, when the offense gets holding on 3rd and 5, why are they awarded to replay the down?
There you go.
But if it's defensive holding,
there you go.
It's not. It's penalty yards and a first down. It just doesn't seem fair. It's like you're saying, 3rd and 27, a dude runs a screen pass or something, and the guy gets touched at 6 yards, and they call legal contact for a 5 yard play that had nothing to do with anything, and now it's a first down, and you awarded him a whole new set of downs
and 5 yards
when they only had a 6 yard penalty.
Yeah, hey Nick, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to put you on hold. Patrick, get his mailing address. I want to send you a couple of Fuddruckers certificates because that's one of the examples that I did not think. That's one of the That's one of the examples that drives me nuts. Mm-hmm. Nick, if you want to call back, we'll get your mailing address. I want to send you a Fuddruckers gift certificate. Think about what he just said, Garrett. Mm-hmm. It's 3rd and 17. Mm-hmm. Illegal or defensive holding. It's an automatic first down. It's a 5 yard penalty. They get an automatic set of downs. Mm-hmm. If it's holding against the offense and it was 3rd and 10, it's now 3rd and 20, but you get to replay the down.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you not lose a down there as well?
Because everything is driven, in my opinion, by fantasy football and points. So you're going to get, you know, if you keep that first down, you keep that drive line, you're closer to getting scores.
But that's been that call, though. It's always been about helping the offense.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? If the defense is ever tightened up again, they'll do it again. They'll figure something else out.
Mm-hmm.
3:49. Todd, very quickly, you were going to make a point?
Yeah. Good afternoon, gentlemen. On the holding, first down penalties, they need to wipe those out, guys, and just take the yardage on it. Now, I understand defensive holding, you know, maybe that's the only one you put in there. If you grab a guy and everything else, I mean, it could be a lot of yards. But I mean, besides defensive holding, I mean, just take the yardage, make them yardage penalties, and whatever comes out of it, comes out of it.
Yep, I agree. Thanks, Todd. Appreciate the call. Here's the problem with offensive holding. Okay, let's say you're going to sack a guy for 7 yards. Offensive holding is 10, right, Garrett? But what if it would have been a blindside sack that also would have created a fumble?
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know.
So why not? Because if you get sacked, if the quarterback is sacked, but you hold him to prevent the sack, you get holding because you're protecting your quarterback, but you do get to replay the down. Why not? That's like intentional grounding. It's the same thing. You're basically on purpose giving up something so that you're not giving up something.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back, it's 3:50, a little bit more. 4 o'clock hour, Mac Rhodes will join us today. At 4:20, Baylor's director of athletics. We'll have John McClain at 4:45 and also David Hellman at 5. This is ESPN Central Texas.
This high school football segment with Lorena High School head coach Ray Biles is brought to you by Bush's Chicken and Lorena Athletic Association.
The Lorena Leopards now 5-4 on the season after a 41-16 win over Madisonville, their second win in district play against three losses. Coach, in that game, over 600 yards of total offense, and a lot of that thanks to a couple of seniors, Bradley Lina and Ty Moore. They combined for about 500 yards of total offense.
Yeah, it was a tremendous night for Bradley. He rushed for 127, had about a 90-something yard quarterback draw, too, at a critical time in the game for a touchdown. And then he passed for three touchdowns and over 200 yards again. And he's just had a tremendous season for us. And, you know, had a good night, made some real good reads, got the ball where he needed to. And then, you know, finding ways to get the ball to Ty Moore, that's been the name of the game, and Ty did a great job. He had three touchdown receptions on the night and a couple of real big ones at critical times. So, yeah, those guys have done a super job week in and week out the whole season.
Your defense also played a big role with a couple of turnovers, a fumble recovery, and an interception by one of your sophomores.
Yeah, Cade Walker made a big pick in the third quarter early when the game was still in doubt. And, you know, after that we got a drive together and kind of started putting things away. But overall, very, very well played defensive ball game.
This will be the last game of the season against Mahia on Friday.
Win, loss, tie, whatever happens, because of the way all the tiebreakers fall, we would be on the short end of all of them. So, you know, we're going to go out and we're going to try and finish this season well. And I've already talked to our seniors about that part of it this weekend. And, you know, they're excited about the opportunity to come out and play one last ball game on Leopard Field. So we're going to do that Friday night and hopefully play hard.
ESPN Central Texas.
The Lorena Athletic Association meets the first Monday of each month, and they invite all supporters of the Leopards and Lady Leopards to become a member and attend the meetings. Last year, the Lorena Athletic Association awarded 17 college scholarships to deserving Lorena ISD seniors. They also try to provide needed items each year from the high school and junior high coaches' wish list. The Lorena Athletic Association is seeking volunteers to work concession stands at home sporting events. Call Lorena High School for more information or check them out on Facebook.
Now is your chance to get the unstoppable performance of a new Trane system for your home. At Trane, they test so it runs. Through November 15th, get special financing for 60 months and rebates up to $500 on a qualifying Trane system. Visit traininfo.com to find your local dealer. It's hard to stop a Trane. Subject to credit approval.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Paul Catalina with your ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update. Servicing Central Texas since 1964. Glauf, Ford, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, and Clifton. Where they say cars are like eggs, they're cheaper in the country. The Baylor men open their season today with a 105-61 blowout of Central Arkansas. Jared Butler, a career-high 30 points, 8 from 12 from beyond the arc. Newcomer Macy O'Teague had 18. He was 4 of 6 from 3. Devontae Bandu had 15. Freddie Gillespie, 14. Next up for the Bears, a road trip to Alaska where they'll take on the Washington Huskies. The defending national champion Lady Bears open their regular season tonight as well, hosting New Hampshire. They'll host a ring ceremony and raise the national championship banner in the pregame. You can hear the broadcast at 5:30 right here on your flagship for Baylor Athletics, ESPN Central Texas.
Sports Center every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas.
I'm interested in this, Garrett. I just put that up on Twitter. So why is it on offense, holding is a 10-yard penalty, you get to replay the down, but on defense, it's a 5-yard penalty and an automatic first down. Again, I understand everything leans towards the offense.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. I'm not trying to change the league. I'm just trying to say it would help. First of all, illegal contact. Does that really interrupt a play? It's holding or contact to say you may reroute somebody.
Mm-hmm.
The point of it is I'm trying to not complain about the call.
Right.
I'm trying to get the game back into a flow. That's what bothers me. It's not the call, whether somebody grabbed somebody or held somebody, there was pass interference. I'm not in that mood. I am saying it just, why not make the game more free and easy?
Yeah. So as far as holding, if we got a universal call for both sides, essentially, is that what you're calling for?
If you're going to penalize the defense more than the offense, then it, to me,
it's not,
they've been doing that for dozens of years. I just feel like it's gotten to the point now because of the way the game is being overly sensitive when it comes to calls.
Yeah.
That's That's what I'm – my point is not if somebody mugs somebody, yes, it would make a difference, or pass interference. Yes, it could be – and I could see the Amari Cooper as a pass interference. I could also see him let him play both ways. And if you're going to have pass interference because the NFL's scared of their own shadow, scared of the fact, my God, the public and social media went nuts after the Saints and the Rams because of that fiasco, which was bad.
Mm-hmm.
So they overreact by saying you could now challenge pass interference, and the NFL's in New York are going, you.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. They don't, I mean, they're.
Because even though it's a 6-yard throw, 7-yard play, 8-yard throw, and Witten gets beat up all the time underneath. And it was there contact before the ball arrived in the one that New York replayed?
I can't remember.
Oh, but God, he went right through his back.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But it's a 7-yard throw. Okay. It's not like an earth shattering play. It's another example of what we do by overreacting to something to try to satisfy the itch or scratch the itch. It's like the NCAA saying, you know what? We voted unanimously. Student athletes will start to get paid for their likeness. 9 years later, they'll be still trying to figure it out, but it gets people off their back for now. Mm-hmm. But everybody fell hook, line, and sinker. The NCAA unanimously voted, right, Paul, mm-hmm. that all players will get money and revenue based on endorsements or whatever. You really think that's going to happen anytime soon? They are only reacting to public pressure.
Well, yeah, it's like in California.
You really think the NCAA wants to do that?
No, but I do know that in California it goes into effect in 2021, so they're kind of a ticking clock for the first time ever. So we'll see. I don't like. I seem to think they'll figure out some way out of it.
Then they'll tie it up. Because the NCAA will sue California, and it'll be tied up forever.
Well, since they've already voted to do it, I don't know if they'll sue California, but maybe they'll convince them to delay
they'll
it.
They'll tie it up in, Paul, you know that. They're going to tie it up. They're going to tie it up in court, like everything else. Mason finds the Earl Campbell Tyler Rose Award National Player of the Week for his performance. Did you see his postgame, Garrett? He dressed up like some kind of animal. Cartoon character, like some Tyrannosaurus Rex or whatever it was. This is ESPN Central Texas.
Car has the trucks, man. They have the one for you. Crew cab, short or long bed, silver, black, or blue. Texas size selection, great prices, too. Richard Carr, he has the truck for you. Car has the trucks, man. He has the truck you need. If you want the best truck, you want a GMC. Texas size selection, great prices, too. Richard Carr, they have the truck for you.
Although one of the fitness newsletters we get from Waco Regional Tennis and Fitness, it comes out on the first of every month. One of them was, life has its ups and downs. We call them squats. There's always something that's related to exercise at Waco Regional Tennis and Fitness, whether it's boot camp or any kind of group exercise classes or what you do yourself individually to walk through the front door to try to help get yourself fit and remain that way. Whether you're trying to lose inches or weight or get rid of them, but that's the commitment it takes. They open up every morning at 5 o'clock on Saturdays a little bit later and also open until it's noon on Sundays. Waco Regional Tennis and Fitness changed my life, where I was once 282.5 pounds and now I'm maintaining right about 188. And I weigh every day. You know why? Because I remember what it was like some 90 or so pounds ago. It's just something I do. A little bit nuts, but that's what I do. And maybe every day, because you walk through the front door. It's not about whoever walks through the front door. It's about you. You go, man, I just wish I would have started 2 weeks ago. Start tomorrow. Start tonight. It's open. Waco Regional Tennis and Fitness on Lakeshore Drive in Waco.
When it comes to me and my money, I know the way it should be. I need a partner I can count on.
Doesn't love Tex-Mex. La Fiesta has been serving Waco up the finest Tex-Mex in Central Texas since 1963. At La Fiesta, you'll find the same homestyle flavors with a modern twist. With homemade tortillas, and they use USDA Choice Angus beef for their famous mesquite-fired fajitas that you've known and come to love. La Fiesta is a proud supporter of the Ryker Cougars.
Football season has merged with hunting season. Waco Custom Marketplace, your one-stop shop for tailgating, deer season, and fall as they continue to offer fully cooked brisket smoked in-house. A fall family box with 5 pounds of ground beef, 5 pounds of 6-ounce chicken breast, and 5 pounds of boneless pork chop for $40. Deer camp box with a pound of jalapeno or regular summer sausage, pound of cheddar cheese, roll of crackers, pound of bacon, pound of breakfast patties, and 2 pieces of sirloin steak for $25. The fall box with 5 pounds of ground chili meat, 5 pounds of stew meat, and 3 pounds of boneless beef roast. And there's the fall snack box, $15, including a piece of summer sausage, pound of cheddar cheese, pound of pepper jack cheese, and a roll of Ritz crackers. The fall savings steak box, including 6 ribeye steaks, 4 New York strips, 2 pieces of sirloin steak, and beef fillets for just $100. And you can start your day with fresh kolaches, baked daily and fresh. It's your one-stop shop for all your tailgating needs. The friendliest, fastest grocery store in Waco. Waco Custom Marketplace, 425 Lake Air Drive in Waco.
Conley Independent School District prepares its students with high levels of academic strength, including literacy, critical thinking, problem solving, technological skills, and communication. The mission of Conley ISD is to send off students to be successful, productive citizens, prepared for their future, college, the workplace, and ready for personal success. Conley ISD, where their students come first, where success is the shared responsibility of students, families, schools, and community. Conley Independent School District, where their environment influences learning, at conley.org.
Come experience the difference at Glaw Ford Chevrolet Buick GMC in Clifton.
They are one of the few dealerships in Central Texas where you can shop and compare the Ford F-150, the Chevrolet Silverado, and the GMC Sierra pickup trucks side by side.
Whether it's hauling a big load or getting to a job site, count on the Ford F-150 or Super Duty truck. The Chevrolet Silverado has been helping people get things done for over 100 years. And the GMC Sierra 1500 light-duty pickup truck offers the world's first six-function multi-pro tailgate.
At Glaw Ford Chevrolet Buick GMC, no reasonable offer will be refused. Meet the friendly sales staff. They're small town folk ready to earn your business.
Serving Central Texas since 1964, Glaw Ford Chevrolet Buick GMC. Just a short drive to 1206 North Avenue G in Clifton. Come experience the difference, where they say cars are like eggs. They're cheaper in the country.
KRZI Waco, K256BW Waco, ESPN Central Texas. The 4 o'clock hour of You Make the Call is brought to you by McAdams and Sons Roofing.
All right, here we go. This 4 o'clock hour. We're off a little early today at 5:30. Lady Bears 5:30 pregame at the Farrell Center as they open up against New Hampshire. They also unveil the national championship banner and the rings that they win along the way or won along the way, including their national championship game against Notre Dame. I was very much a part of that run as far as covering them. And remember, man, that team, because of the history of Baylor women's basketball, the 05 and 2012 teams, and how some teams were set up for deep runs, but for whatever reason, sometimes somebody else just played better. Sometimes you had things go wrong. And I'll never forget being in Tampa, watching them win that game late against Oregon in the semifinals, and then dominating Notre Dame, and Lauren Cox goes down. And then here comes the run. You knew it was coming from Notre Dame because now no one was there, with all due respect to Kalani Brown or even Melissa Smith, defensively, to protect the rim like Lauren Cox can. And here comes Notre Dame. And somehow, Paul, young lady misses one of two free throws. She never misses, ever, ever missed free throws. She missed a couple times. And you can hear the Notre Dame crowd. And then, of course, Chloe Jackson with the dipsy do and the layup. And then Baylor wins it all. And they unveil that national championship banner tonight. 5:30 pregame. They're going to open to the Farrell Center much earlier than that for you to have a chance to sit down and get ready. Mac Rose will join us in the next segment. Now, I do not plan on tonight being in any way, shape, or form watching the college football playoff. This is not some sort of a protest. This is just me knowing that whatever is said this week can change next week, because you know what? Other games are played. It's just me knowing that it's almost like a soap opera. So, here's what I'd like to do. I still have interest in what they're going to say. I'm not going to watch it. I will watch, you know, it comes down. They'll have the four teams we all know. And then somebody at 5, and then somebody at 6, and Perhaps it's Georgia, or perhaps maybe Baylor slides in at 7, 8, 9, or 10. I don't know where Oklahoma's going to be. Maybe they're not a part of the top 10. I don't even know how deep they go anymore. But here's what I'd like to do in the text line. Bush's Chicken text line and also the calls. 254-662-1660. Just quickly, you tell me how you would rate 1 through 4 based on not who the names are, but based on the resume through today, through last weekend.
See, you and I are different on this. I have no interest in what they're going to say because nothing they say tonight matters.
Yeah, it does. What do you ever look when Florida State's ranked number one in the Associated Press poll? That doesn't matter to you?
I've had to teach myself over the years. Yeah. And here's the thing.
I asked you a question.
There was a time in my life where it did. But in the newest form of what we have, after we watched the Baylor and TCU thing a few years ago, and I got in, I watched it every week that year.
I know.
And then after that, I realized, why am I doing this? Why do I even care what they have to say when so much has to change?
Yeah, but we still cover the sport.
And I'm going to read and find out what the rankings are.
That's what I just said.
I don't want to be ignorant, but I am in no way interested in doing that. I'm doing it because I have to.
I'm going to do it because it's going to pop up on my timeline at some point while I'm doing something to get ready for a high school game or to get ready for whatever we do for tomorrow's show.
But I could not care less what comes out of their mouth about why. Okay. It doesn't matter. That's
my point. I agree with you there.
Yeah.
And I'm not asking you why. I'm asking you to give me your four teams as of now, who they've beaten, because one of the shots that's been one of the things about Baylor that's going to be a surprise tonight for some people is they have 3 wins against the top 30. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, college basketball used to be about RPI.
Yeah.
Now it's about strength of schedule, who you beat, and things like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The RPI is still part of the discussion. Baylor's going to be in the top 10. Did you think that 2 weeks ago? Who they beaten?
No, I mean, I thought they were going to lose to Oklahoma State.
With what they've done entering this week, do you think they should be in the top 10 in the college football playoff discussion?
Yes. They should be in every top 10.
Garrett, do you?
I thought they should have been 10 and Florida should have been 11. I don't think that Florida should have been put above them.
In the Associated Press or coaches? Okay. All right. But this is different. And it is a soap opera. And they want to bring you in and so they can slice your throat. Mm-hmm. Like they did TCU and they also did with Baylor. Mm-hmm. And God, if TCU and Baylor fans could have, or coaches and administrators and Bob Bowlesby could have just said, hey, listen, we're killing each other by bickering. I understand you're fighting for turf. Mm-hmm. I think both teams had a right to have an argument. Head to head, oh yeah. When you win, that's important. When you don't, it's not, like TCU. So give me your four, Paul. 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Ohio State, LSU, Alabama, and Clemson.
Why Alabama?
I mean, this is the way they're beating people and the way that they're playing. I mean, they're undefeated, you know, and a lot of that's name. But
what's the difference between where they started the year and where Baylor started the year? Where was Baylor?
Baylor was not ranked.
Who has Alabama beaten?
Nobody really. But part of this is also, I think Alabama will still be there. I'm projecting them out too.
I love how Nick Saban coaches. I really like him. Give me their most quality win. Have they beaten Auburn?
Not yet.
Have they played Georgia?
No.
Have they beaten LSU?
Not.
Have they played Florida?
No.
Give me another team in the SEC that's quality.
No, their best win is probably A&M, and that's not a great win.
Not at all.
So switch the jerseys. Baylor hadn't beaten those teams either. They're going to have an opportunity, if they can take care against business against TCU, to play what might be a team ranked in the top 10.
So
if they beat Iowa State and Baylor beats TCU.
Kansas State is a better win than Texas A&M, I think. I think Iowa State's a better win than Texas A&M.
No question.
And
what about at Oklahoma State? About the same?
That game was about the same. Okay. That's about the same.
If Oklahoma State and A&M played, do you know who would win that game?
Nope.
We don't.
Nope.
There's a lot of those games. Garrett, give me your top four, and then we'll go to Mr. Buckeye. I got a feeling I know where he's going to go with this.
I say LSU, Ohio State, probably Alabama and Clemson. But Clemson, I'd be close to switching with Penn State.
Why Alabama at 3? Because the name on the jersey?
I mean, I think there's
– from what they've done this year, so far nothing. Through this year. Do I think they're really good yet? And we'll figure it out Saturday. They might lose 24-21. That doesn't mean they're not very good.
Okay, I'll also do this in that fact that I don't want to be a hypocrite in that the year Florida State, the first year of the college football playoff, when I had to beat the drum for my Seminoles and that, like, their schedule, when you looked at it at the beginning
of the
season.
Did you make a difference with Kirk Herbstreit? Did that make a difference because you beat the drum
When I was saying it to people when they asked me, because they didn't have a good, all their wins were sloppy, but they kept winning, and their schedule looked good at the beginning of the year, and then all those teams turned out to be very average. And I kept saying, well, yes, they just kept winning. That's what I'm saying about Alabama. It's about the same amount of logic.
How many teams are undefeated?
What, eight right now? Seven?
I think it's seven. SMU just got knocked out of that.
Yeah.
And we know because SMU and Memphis and what used to be Houston or what others, they're not allowed to be a part of this dance.
Yeah.
That's it. Let's kind of just trickle them in at nine just to make, you know, kind of get those group of five schools off our, presidents off our back. Mr. Buckeye, go.
How y'all doing?
Good, go.
How y'all doing over there?
We're doing great. Give us your four.
My top four is LSU, Ohio State, Alabama, Penn State.
All right. All right. Thanks for the call. That's kind of, Garrett, what you were throwing out.
Yeah, because I probably would switch Penn State and Clemson. Clemson's just not what they were last year, and then, you know, that loss, that close game against North Carolina, that's just not a good look.
See, I don't care about close wins.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
Everybody's going to have
Baylor had a close win against Tech, had a close win against Iowa State, had a close win against West Virginia.
Yeah,
I can see that.
Because here's what happens, that when you're in one conference, you think conference games, you know, there's rivalries that sometimes we don't even know exist. And we kind of know what the SEC rivalries are. We know what they are in the Big Ten. We know what they are in the Pac-12. We think we also know what they might be in the Big 12, but the ACC. But then again, rivalries are almost extinct now.
Well, especially with some of the shuffling and the new teams in places.
They don't even play each other every year.
Who's West Virginia's biggest rival in the Big 12? Who do the West Virginia fans go, man, we got to beat those SOBs? I don't know.
The arrogant Texas fan would say, well, everybody wants to beat us, and they're probably right. But really, is that a rivalry?
Rivalries have to be reciprocal.
No, they have to be.
If I hate a guy and he doesn't care about me, then...
I don't care about close wins. You mentioned Florida State. I'll defend them all damn day. They still play pretty good people. It's not their fault if those people weren't very good.
That's the
Cowboys are 12-1, guys, in the NFC. They're 12-1 in their last 13 NFC East games. Should they apologize for that because the Giants and Redskins are trash?
It's the same thing about the Patriots. The Patriots have dominated the AFC East their entire time. It is not Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft's job to make sure the Dolphins, Jets, and Bills do theirs
better. But then, Paul, wait a minute, but it gives them home field advantage because they have 12-4 at least when they start the year.
Well, you know
what? There's always someone. So, top four, to me, the best team I've seen, in my opinion, start to finish, has been Ohio State. Now, who's their most quality win? Wisconsin?
Yes.
They haven't played Michigan yet, and they always win.
Yeah.
Have they played Ohio State or Penn State?
No, that's coming.
Did they beat Michigan State?
I believe that's still on the horizon for them. I can't remember.
All right.
But Michigan State's not very good.
What was their non-conference schedule?
A bunch of teams from Ohio, right?
Mm-hmm.
FAU.
Oh, FAU, yeah. That's
terrible. All right, now, I still think, though, that they just, to me, it's not like the eyeball test. I'm not into that. It's just I've seen them just kind of crunch on some people. They did beat Michigan State 34-10. Michigan State's 4-2, but they did beat Michigan State. LSU, they go into Austin. At the time, Texas had dreams of a national championship team. Did they not?
Yeah.
Hell of a game. Did they have adversity in that game?
Yeah.
They had to pull one out against a team that at the time was playing very good football at Texas. Mm-hmm. We didn't know eventually they would lose.
Well, they were also.
We thought they'd lose.
They were also healthy for the most part.
They beat a team on the road that was in the top 6, 8, or 10 conversation.
Yeah.
Why? Well, because they were coming off a 10-win season, a Sugar Bowl win against Georgia, and they had Ellinger back.
Mm-hmm.
Although they had some warts, maybe we didn't want to look at them when you rank them because they have the name on the jersey as well. That's what I'm saying. I don't know who's my four. I just think the two best teams I've seen so far this year have been Ohio State and LSU. I don't know who else is in that picture.
LSU has also beaten Florida and Auburn.
and one at Texas. So
you had those, and like that's the team that's had the best, the most quality wins is LSU.
And here's
and the reason I'm maybe picking Ohio State over them just a little bit, I think Ohio State, surprisingly enough, because this is not normally the case with LSU, just a little bit better on defense right now. But again, I would love to see LSU and Ohio State play.
Derek, go. Thanks for your call.
Is it okay if I mention men's basketball real quick?
Yes, go ahead.
I don't know if y'all got to watch today, and I know it's Central Arkansas or whoever the heck. But I want to tell you what. I want to watch those guys. I have never been as excited before season since maybe like that 08 team or 09 team that we had. Those guys, man, we have firepower. I mean, we got about four guys who can play point guards or the two or maybe even the three. They all can pass. They all can shoot. They all can drive and penetrate. I think we're going to be really special this year. If we didn't have any big guys, I would be a little bit concerned. But Gillespie and Vidal and Tristan Clark back and Flo Thamba, this might be a special team. I know it's early, but I was really, really impressed.
I agree. I know. And we had Macy Oteague. Paul was there, got post-game audio, a one-on-one with Macy Oteague, thanks to David Kay. I was able to just kind of watch a little bit of it. Very impressive. It's Central Arkansas. You know what? Last year they lost did they not lose to Texas? Who was it? Texas Southern?
Texas State.
Who was it at the start of the year?
Texas State. I thought it was Texas Southern. It was one of those.
They also lost at home to SFA.
Yeah.
Not the ones that have been going to the tournament, SFA.
No. They.
So they dominate a team they're supposed to dominate. Guess what? They got Washington coming up this week, and it's a game that just by playing that game, it makes you better. You win it, that's even better. You put one in the notch.
Just got a text from Nelson. Makes a good point. I don't know why teams get penalized for their schedule. OU scheduled UCLA this year, and UCLA is at the bottom, but 8 years ago they weren't. That's part of the other thing is most of these schedules are done 8 years ago, so six years ago, maybe even longer, so sometimes you're getting penalized. I like that point. You're getting penalized for something that you didn't have control over 8 years ago. Now, if you schedule Incarnate Word 8 years ago, then Incarnate Word's not going to be any better in 8 years, but if, say you make it, okay, Baylor and Ole Miss, which has been in the offing for a while, neither of those teams have control over what that is going to be in 2020.
No, you don't. I mean, you don't.
But it's a great idea when they do it.
But
and then,
UCLA is a quality opponent on your schedule if you're Oklahoma or you're anybody. It's not their fault that UCLA is not the one who is upholding their end of the bargain.
Yeah.
4-18 is – because UCLA, I do remember, Garrett, am I right, that one time they went into Austin and beat Texas 66-3? Yeah. I know that they've also beaten the other big boys at times.
I think you should be credited for – you shouldn't be penalized for that team being bad because you have no control over it. The only thing you should punish the people on the schedule for is if they clearly are dodging big-time opponents year in and year out.
And what's great about starting next year is Baylor – comes to the party with Ole Miss, and then there's also the Utahs and the Brigham Youngs and others along the way, including in about 7 or 8 years, even Auburn, and I love it. 4:19 is the time. Mac Rhodes of Baylor next on ESPN Central Texas.
Coriel Health Board Certified Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Jacob Battle is practicing at Coriel Health Medical Clinic in Gatesville, as well as treating patients at clinic locations in Waco and Clifton. Dr. Battle provides a wide range of orthopedic care, both surgical and non-surgical, including the care of arthritis and common sports injuries like ACL tears and fracture care. He specializes in arthroscopic surgery, total joint replacement of the knee and shoulder, and minimally invasive carpal tunnel surgery. To schedule an appointment with Dr. Jacob Battle, give Coriel Health Medical Clinic a call.
Universal Windows Direct of Central Texas. They do inspections of your home when it comes to what you're building or renovating, maintenance of what they have put in, and Unishield Window Warranty. Unishield Window Warranty. Unishield Window, the quality of windows installed in your home, covered by a lifetime warranty. And by the way, they guarantee their windows and the work. Get Unishield Window Services. These are the ones that are used aerospace technology, Windows, Universal Windows Direct, reputation built on quality. I'm going to spit it out here in a minute. They are also very much involved in your community events, showcases, expos, demos. They're a part of our Academic All-Stars program, thanks to Scott Davis, offering free quotes to homeowners throughout the Central Texas area and other places around the state of Texas. New construction, retrofit windows, custom windows. Estimates available for almost every property imaginable. It's Universal Windows Direct of Central Texas online, universalwindowscentraltexas.com.
Bonders Auto and Fleet Services provide complete service and repair on all domestic and most imports. Anything under the hood, Bonders Auto and Fleet Service is the go-to for your vehicle. At Bonders Auto and Fleet Service, they use quality parts. They're a NAPA care center, and they have a 12-month or 12,000-mile warranties available for your peace of mind. They also have free shuttle service for your convenience. Family-owned and operated. Go by and see B.W. Ponder and the whole gang at Bonders Auto and Fleet Service. Find them online at Ponder Auto Fleet.com.
Does the thought of mice, rats, or other rodents taking up residence in your walls or attic kind of make you feel uncomfortable? Well, once inside, these unwanted critters can cause thousands of dollars in damage to your home. The experts at 855-BUGS can identify points of entry and eliminate them. They use a variety of methods to keep rodents out. So be proactive, not reactive. Let 855-BUGS ensure your home is protected with a free inspection and comprehensive treatment plan.
Honey, I think we got critters.
Visit 855-BUGS.com right now to schedule your free inspection.
Have you been tagged yet again in an engagement ring photo? Are hints being dropped all around you? Rest assured, D'Amore Fine Jewelers has been rescuing men seeking the perfect ring for over 25 years. Come in with a picture of her dream ring and we'll make it a reality. With our 5-year financing, custom design team, and selection of diamonds, we'll make the whole process fun and enjoyable. D'Amore Fine Jewelers on West Waco Drive.
In the market for a quality metal building? Since 1943, Pioneer Steel and Pipe has helped Central Texas residential and commercial customers with metal building design, panel options, building components, and trim options. Pioneer Steel and Pipe's residential line is energy efficient, offers low maintenance, reduces insurance payments, is impact resistant, and carries up to a 45-year limited warranty. In addition, they can also help you find a metal building contractor for your project. Pioneer Steel and Pipe with locations in Waco and Bryan and at pioneerboys.com.
How many trucks are running around Central Texas without any masculinity? Just look at the road and you'll see. With many, there's nothing there. Not one accessory. And that's what's really toxic. Sadly, truck nudity affects thousands of Central Texas trucks. But it doesn't have to be that way because it's a fully treatable condition. At Pickup Outfitter Labs, our R&D department has been working hard on this problem, and I'm excited to announce a stunning breakthrough. It's our own patented treatment called PO. Now, anyone suffering from truck nudity can get PO'd. Need a bed cover? Get PO'd. Need a hitch? Get PO'd. Need a bumper, toolbox, or grill guard? You guessed it, get PO'd. At Pickup Outfitters, we're making real progress, but we need your help. Do you know someone who needs to get PO'd? Send them to Pickup Outfitters for treatment. Our recovery center is located at 220 Lake Air Drive in Waco. See our educational video on our website at createacommotion.com. That's createacommotion.com.
It takes time to reach goals. It's a truth that applies to more than sports. It goes for your financial goals as well. You work hard for your money. You deserve an investment strategy that lines up with your game plan. And Brad Hill, your Edward Jones financial advisor, can help. If your investments aren't putting forth the effort you desire, stop by today for financial review. Brad Hill, 8810 Woodway Drive in Waco, 254-301-7080, Edward Jones, member SIPC.
This segment with Baylor Director of Athletics, Mac Rhodes, is sponsored by Texas Farm Bureau Insurance, serving Texans since 1952. Edward Jones Investments with John Maddox, Ben Erlinson, Brad Hill, and Brad Wilson, making sense of investments. Myatt Fuels, our family would love to serve yours. If you need fuel or lubricant, we're here for you.
All right, here we go. It's 424. Mac Rhodes, Director of Athletics at Baylor. He's at the game earlier today, the men's game, the win against Central Arkansas. The women unfurl that national title banner and also their jewelry tonight before they play New Hampshire. Just the fact that, Mac, it's not that anything else has changed, but that you've added to the mix the men's and women's basketball programs with the expectations sky high for both.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we expect great seasons from both programs, and Coach Mulkey and Coach Drew continue to do a great job. Their staff are student athletes, and you know, you want to have high expectations going into a season, I think. And then it's a matter of how you manage them and how you fight through the adversity throughout the season. But both programs off to a great start.
Mac, do you how do you personally combat some of the attendance issues that'll happen during football season with this? Do you have to kind of roll with the punches on that?
Yeah, you know, I think that you roll with the punches a little bit. Although, you know, it's just not my personality. It's not our personality to just throw our arms up in the air and give in. So, you know, we'll continue to fight, scratch, and claw and think of creative ways to get fans out and come to games. And, you know, we've talked about it, before, just all of the games and how they're available on TV, et cetera. And, you know, so for instance, tonight, you know, with women's basketball in the ring and banner ceremony here at 5:30, you know, PM, we're giving away 7,500, you know, mini banners to the first, you know, 7,500 fans, obviously, that come to the door. And so just trying to be creative and again, we'll continue to, you know, fight, scratch, and claw to get people to come in and watch both programs in person.
Got more to get into, but one more thing when it comes to marketing and what you're doing is you have the Halloween night home game with West Virginia. The crowd appeared to me to be engaged a lot. I saw hundreds of children with their parents lined up over near Touchdown Alley well before the game. In the end, looking back on that, were you pleased with how it went?
Yeah, I really was. You know, we received a lot of great feedback from people, and you know, we're certainly grateful for everybody that came out and attended. You know, Thursday nights are difficult. School night, you know, it's difficult for people that have season tickets that, you know, live out of town, and, you know, especially with it being a Halloween. So I thought it went really, really well. The trick-or-treat turnout was really phenomenal, astonishing. We actually distributed all 5 tons of candy, so we're sorry to the parents whose children probably didn't go to bed until midnight or 1 a.m. because of the late game and then the sugar. But, yeah, great overall evening. So proud of our students, again, came out and in full force, you know, with an overflow crowd of, you know, 9,300 students in attendance. And, you know, they kind of set that energy, set that tone for the entire game. And, you know, I know Coach Rule, I know our football student athletes are really grateful for our students coming out the way they did.
So I saw them when I got there on Thursday, Mac, unloading the pallets upon pallets of candy. And I thought for sure, some people are going to get to take home a big box of full-size Snickers. And they were all gone.
Believe me, I checked. I mean, I wanted a full-size Snickers or Hershey or something to take home, and by the time I got there, it was all gone.
I saw you bought a pickup truck just for that night to load it up, or a big old box van. All right, now, the Board of Regents, this came out late, I guess, in the week, approving Phase 1, the design funding for the Herd Welcome Center and Baylor's Basketball Pavilion. This was a dream. It's still work to be done. The funding doesn't mean you start to build, but it does mean it costs money to try to design it. Is that correct?
Yeah, what it does is it, you know, formally allows us to hire architects and to begin that design phase. And, you know, so grateful to the late Mark Hurd and his wife Paula, to the both of them for us, you know, for their generosity and you know, for giving us the ability to build a welcome center, and then the anonymous donor. And so, you know, now we can really, you know, get moving on the architecture, hiring that team and then you know, beginning design phase. And, you know, I'm not quite sure on the Herd Center, but you know, you're probably looking at once we officially start, get everybody to the table, you know, and all of the details of design with the pavilion, you know, that's probably a 12-month process. So trying to get that started sooner rather than later.
Mac Rhodes, Director of Athletics, with us at Baylor here on ESPN Central Texas.
All right, Mac, the CFP is tonight. I've been very adamant about my feelings about the first few weeks, and that the only week that matters is the last one. How do you as an athletic director watch those and take in the information, seeing as it will change 6 times before the end of the year?
You know, it's a great question, and I think there's 2 ways to answer it, right? When your team is maybe not top 10 or, you know, or close to top 10, you know, I probably have watched it, you know, as a fan over the last couple of years, because I love college football, right? And you love to see how the committee, which I think does a great job, slots everybody in the conversation, dialogue, the rationale around it. But when you now have a team that, you know, is certainly on the cusp, I'm probably not going to watch it, and probably not pay any attention about it to it, because you know, it as you mentioned, Paul, it really doesn't matter right now, right? We've got a big game ahead of us at TCU. They're a really good team. We've struggled with them, you know, since I've been here. We haven't beat TCU, and you know, all of the CFP talk and all that means nothing if we can't go and play really, really well, play really, really hard at TCU and try to win a game.
Mac, if you were asked to be a part of that committee, would you be a part of that committee?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was blessed to be asked to be part of the mock committee, the one-day process this year, myself and a bunch of other ADs, and so went and did that and found it fascinating. Certainly a lot of detail, which I love, and yeah, I think it would be a great honor if that ever happened.
Are you able to enjoy this journey that the football team has given Baylor and any others that follow Baylor as far as the fan base? Or do you have a chance to enjoy it because you're always up, you know, what's up next? Do you have a chance to enjoy it?
You know, I had that really specific conversation with somebody today. And, you know, quite frankly, it's hard. It's hard to enjoy it because it just feels like, you know, every game is this huge game, right, where everything's on the line. And, you know, we talked a little bit yesterday as a staff that you know, it is. It's unbelievable to be 8-0 when we're talking about football specifically, and you know, we probably need to take time to enjoy it a little bit. You know, for me, I always feel like if I take any time to enjoy it, then, you know, I'm not working in terms of moving forward and making sure we get even better. You know, the 8-0 can't define us, right? And what defines us is what we're doing each and every day with our student athletes, and if we do that at an elite level, then all of that stuff, you know, takes care of itself. So again, just trying to remind everybody that let's not get caught up in the noise of being 8-0. And yeah, it's fun and all those things, but let's make sure we keep our eye on the ball and remember our purpose and our why, and just continue to try to do that each and every day better and better.
Do you get emails and comments from people when they watch something on television like the college football playoff, and an analyst, a big-time national analyst, will say something negative about Baylor, why they don't like them, you know, and then people will say, well, how can this guy say this? Do you get some of those?
Yeah, I'll get some of that every now and then, sure. And, you know, and you know what? I welcome the feedback and the comments, and try to respond to all of them as best I can. But yeah, get some of that.
You had a football player that was in the news over the weekend, or before the weekend, I think it was, a young man who had an accident, and it was a tragic situation. He's not on the roster. How did you handle the story or the issue with Logan Compton?
Yeah, I mean, what you use the word tragic, Smoke, and I don't know that there's any other word that you can use to describe the entire incident, right? The accident. It's an unbelievable tragedy for everybody involved, and you know, your thoughts and prayers are about all of the people involved. As you know, Logan withdrew from school before classes, began in the fall semester, and so hasn't been with the football team. And, you know, quite frankly, you know, we don't know all of the details. And so we're sitting here praying for everybody that's involved, and really, you know, frankly, that's about all I can say on it, because I just, you know, don't know everything that's involved with it.
Okay. All right. Anything else, Paul?
Nope.
All right, we'll see you in Fort Worth. Thank you very much, Mac.
All right, thank you both.
Mac Rhodes, Director of Athletics at Baylor University, with us on ESPN Central Texas, 435. Let's see, John McClain, 445, is that right? John McClain, normally 530 on Tuesday, Lady Bears pregame at 530, and also David Hellman, DallasCowboys.com at 5. Cowboys last night with a win against the Giants, 37-18. It was a really weird game. Paul and I have become almost disturbing the way we trade text messages, the way I know the Cowboys and some of their habits as well as he does, and he goes to a lot of the games, all of the games, most of them, at least at AT&T Stadium. It's interesting that we can kind of see what's happening. I have, and I'm not a Cowboys fan, and I'm okay with that, but I do cover the hell out of them.
Like you say, I'm not a Cowboys fan, and I'm okay
with
that.
Yeah, again, but here's okay. You know, I'm not. It's like, Garrett, you like Washington. Paul, yep. You like the Cowboys. Patrick, you're a Cowboys fan. Is that
the Falcons.
Right? Falcons fan. Okay, it's just a lot of it may be where you happened to be when you were 7 or where you grew up or whatever. And so, but my point is this. I seem like I have a pretty good feel for them because I've covered them since 81. I've watched them forever. They happen to be the arch rival of a team that used to be important to me.
You sound like a bitter ex.
Yeah.
And so, I don't care what Veronica's doing.
I mean, hey, let me tell you something. They're 12-1 against the NFC East in the last 13 games. By God, I know what the one is. But I have a feeling about them. And mine, would you not say, Paul, is more of a glass half full. Yours is more of a glass half empty.
Oh, yes.
So, and both of us have been wrong, mm-hmm. but we're pretty good about, okay.
We're somewhere in the middle of us. We're very close, but in the middle is probably where it actually is. But of kind of
you
nailing.
Called the loss in New York against the Jets immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, immediately. Mm-hmm. I called, I think, the loss to the Packers because Aaron Rodgers, and that doesn't mean you didn't either.
Yeah.
You thought last night, though.
I thought, I was like, that's.
Because last night's first quarter, not just the first play when. But they intercepts Dak. That's not it.
It was just they were so sloppy
9-3
and
yeah. And so I just felt like they were hanging around and they have too much offense to continue to not score against the Giants. And I also saw this. Now, had Zeke been tangled up, had Zeke been contained, which he wasn't, then I may have felt differently early. I just felt like he was gassing them, which would lead eventually, and it did, to big plays in the passing game. Not to mention, he had 140 yards, and as he said, he'd never felt easier than a 140-yard game. Let's come back and discuss them. Because I think what they've done, after the disasters of 3 in a row losing, they could have teetered. They could have absolutely teetered. I've seen teams do it. We've seen Cowboys teams do it. They're 5-3. They're unbeaten in the NFC East. They have a tough schedule coming up. I'm not worried about it as someone who covers them. I think they're kind of set for a run. Maybe not like last year, but I think they're set for a run. I don't know what kind of run, but I think it's a run. The NFC East, to me, is all but theirs. Barring a major injury to Dak Prescott. Mm-hmm. Like, I saw a picture of Cooper Rush sitting next to him at the end of the game. Dak, please, God, don't ever get hurt. I can hear them. Like, please, seriously. These Cowboys fans will turn on me. They like me now on the backup.
Do you ever see, I know you probably haven't, there's a movie called Necessary Roughness with Scott Bakula where he's like a 40-year-old quarterback. They shot up at North Texas. And he leaves the game, and they put the backup quarterback in, and he immediately runs behind the referee and goes, blow the whistle! Blow the whistle!
It's 4:39. I thought it was a gutty win. And I love the way the defense was disruptive back-to-back games. Yes, Daniel Jones in the offense of the Giants is a train wreck. But you know how you get things to start going your way, trends? By taking advantage of bad teams. They did. Your thoughts next. 254-662-1660 ESPN Central Texas.
It's University Kia's birthday, and we're celebrating with the Black Friday sales event. University Kia is celebrating another year in business, and we're pulling out all the stops this holiday season to save you more. Come in today and check out our huge selections of new Kias and enjoy our easy and no-hassle car buying experience. And don't forget to ask a team member about our exclusive VIP Advantage program. University Kia, you'll enjoy our way of doing business. Off I-35, exit Valley Mills and LaSalle Avenue, university-kia.com.
I hate my job,
but I don't mind getting up in the morning.
I dread each day,
but I can't wait to get out of bed.
you ask me why.
And what I'll say to you is true. Well, you can get breakfast tacos at Rudy's Barbecue. Scrambled eggs and brisket, they ain't fooling around. Sausage wraps, son, they're the best in town. Barbecue for breakfast, yes, it's true. Put a smile on your morning at Rudy's Barbecue.
Next in line.
Hey, Baylor Bear fans, get game day ready with Barefoot Campus Outfitters. From going to games to going out on the town or just hanging with friends, Barefoot's got you covered for all occasions. Show your green and white pride with polos, caps, tees, novelty items, and decals. New items arriving weekly. We are Bear Nation. Dress appropriately with Barefoot Campus Outfitters, located on I-35 next to VTEX Barbecue.
McAdams & Sons Roofing is a full-service roofing company you can trust. Whether it's full roof replacement, just a minor repair, whatever you need, they can do it for you. They'll come out and give you a free inspection. Just check out McAdamsRoofing.com. That's McAdamsRoofing.com. They'll come out and do it. And if you need any work done, they'll work with your insurance company, so you don't have to worry about that. As a person who's had to call the insurance company, and I love my insurance company, they've done a very great for me, save for one thing that they didn't cover, but they're mostly easy to deal with. But still, if somebody would do that for me and they could explain all that, that would be great. McAdams & Sons Roofing will do that for you. Home or business, whatever you need, full roof replacement, metal roof, again, just repairs. They'll come out and give you a free estimate and tell you what you need. McAdamsRoofing.com.
My house has a new glow. I love my windows. Universal Windows Direct.
Now that football season is here and cooler weather right around the corner, it's time to replace those old windows. When you call Universal Windows Direct, it's easy to schedule an in-home consultation when you can discuss your specific window needs with an expert team member. Universal's exclusive Unishield windows are spaced using aerospace technology called Super Spacer and have a life expectancy 5 times that of other systems. Now offering 0% financing for 60 months, that is 0% financing for 60 months. Contact Universal Windows Direct of Central Texas for a free in-home estimate. UniversalWindowsCentralTexas.com. That's UniversalWindowsCentralTexas.com. Or call 254-301-7760.
I love my windows. They've got that brand new home effect. Universal Windows Direct.
Hey, it's Matt Mosley Show, brought to you by Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics, your Central Texas Chevy Truck headquarters. Check out our November Fall Savings event featuring our best truck deals of the year. Come see the difference that so many of our friends rave about. Transparent pricing, the highest trade allowances, and a huge inventory of new Chevrolets for you to choose from. Or check us out online at TurnerChevy.com. That's Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics. Stick 'em, Bears.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Craig Smoke with an ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update. City Tire and Battery specializes in alignments, brakes, tune-up, suspension work, and oil changes. Check them out at 1502 South Valley Mills Drive in Waco. Number 16, Baylor men's basketball got their season started off on the right note earlier today with a resounding 105-61 victory over Central Arkansas at the Farrell Center. Sophomore guard Jared Butler hit 8 threes and led all scorers with 30 points. Up next, the Bears will take on Washington Friday night in Anchorage, Alaska. Tonight, the number 2-ranked Lady Bears, defending national champions, get their turn on the Farrell Center floor as they welcome in New Hampshire. Prior to the game, there will be a ceremony to unveil the Lady Bears' third national championship banner, and players will be presented with their championship rings. We'll have full coverage beginning at 5:30, tip-off at 6, right here on ESPN Central Texas. Tonight in the NBA, Spurs are on the road against the Atlanta Hawks. That tips at 6:30. Mavericks and Rockets have the night off.
Sports Center every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas. Welcome back to You Make the Call. It's time for our weekly segment with John McClain of the Houston Chronicle.
All right, here we go. Some of you have responded to us quite a bit on the text line today, brought to you by Bush's Chicken. We appreciate that. We'll read some of those here in a moment. David Hellman, DallasCowboys.com at 5, Lady Bears pregame 5:30. John McClain, Hall of Fame writer, Houston Chronicle, joins us on ESPN Central Texas. John, your thoughts about Dallas winning last night at MetLife Stadium, 37-18. At times it was ugly, but they found a way to win, and they are dominating their own division. 12 of the last 13, they've beaten the Eagles, Redskins, and Giants.
Well, let me back up to Thursday night when I was in London,
And I stayed up till 3 a.m. watching Baylor beat West Virginia on my computer in my room because my wife wouldn't let me have the sound up. So I was listening on headphones, and I kept hoping they would pull away so I could fall asleep. But I managed it, fell asleep about 3:30, and then had to get up at 6, but it was worth it because they won. And then the Cowboys last night, I'm sure Cowboy fans were just apprehensive enough because they couldn't pull away till late, worried that maybe one big play but the Giants' offense or defense would give them a chance to take another lead, because they did lead, and then the Cowboys pulled away. They still have to play one game against the Eagles. The Giants and Redskins are awful, of course. The Cowboys, at worst, should be 5-1 in the division, and that means they'll get a bye in the first round and play a home game like last year.
John, the Texans in jolly old London, how did you enjoy that? And it looks like they're really starting to put it together.
I've been to London, and something about, I didn't mind the plane trip when I was going to play, but going, and not just, I don't call what I do work, it just keeps me busy. And so I went over Wednesday night. I arrived early Thursday morning. I didn't leave my hotel room. I wrote all day, finished writing about Friday night. I finished writing about 1:30 their time. And so the only time I had to do anything was Saturday. Now, my wife had been over in France for a week with a friend, and they had a jolly good time. And it was fun. Wembley Stadium is great. It's almost 85,000 people were at the game. They wear jerseys of every team. I saw Warren Moon Oiler jerseys, Earl Campbell Oiler jerseys. Great experience for the media. I love London. The people are fine. They're really nice. I don't like their you ask for iced tea and they bring you hot tea with ice on the side, and how they don't keep things as cold as we'd like it. But it was an incredible experience. I had a blast, but let me tell you, there's no way they're putting a team there anytime soon. It's going to have to be like they originally anticipated when the Concorde was, we thought, going to come the jet, the normal jet, and you could make the flight in 3 hours from New York. It took me 8.5 going, then it took 10.5 going back. The Texans' charter stall was delayed by 1.5 hours. So you can imagine the time they got back, cleared customs, and got home. It was probably about a 15-hour trip, and it's a lot better when you win. They played their best game start to finish. Their defense come, they got the bye week, and then they play at Baltimore, host Indianapolis on a Thursday night game, then host New England on a Sunday night game. And if they could get through those three-game stretch with 2 wins somehow, the last 4 are Denver here, at Tennessee, at Tampa, and Tennessee. All those teams have losing records, and none appears to be a playoff contender. So they've got the bye week. They have 3 starters out in the secondary. They should be back after the bye. They should be in their best physical condition after the bye since the start of the season.
All right, if I gave you Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, and Christian McCaffrey and asked you to rate them 1, 2, and 3 for MVP at this moment, how would you do it?
Well, I'd put Russell Wilson 1, and I would have Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson tied for 2nd, and Christian McCaffrey 4th.
Lamar Jackson. Yeah. You put Lamar Jackson in the conversation, that's right.
Yeah, okay. I had Jackson and Watson 2nd behind Wilson. Wilson, like, somehow they fell behind Tampa Bay at home. He threw 5 touchdown passes and won the game in overtime, and that's how valuable he is to the team. But, you know, that's going to be decided. That's what, nobody's running away with that. McCaffrey's been tremendous. Quarterbacks almost always win it. Running backs almost always have to set records before they win the MVP award. And this game between the Ravens and the Texans with Jackson and Watson on display, that'll go a long way toward determining if one of them has a chance. Russell Wilson playing Monday night at San Francisco, if the 49ers win, that gives them a 3-game lead over the Seahawks. So I can't wait for that Monday night game.
All right, John, I brought this up. I understand the NFL and offense. I understand most of the rules, the penalties, et cetera, are to favor the offense because people love scoring. But here's a guy, a question for you. The illegal contact or defensive holding It's a five-yard penalty and an automatic first down. But on offense, if you hold, and this has been like this for 100 years, but on offense, you get 10-yard penalty, but you get the playback. Isn't that back-asswards?
You know, of all the questions I've been asked in my 43 years in the NFL, I've never been asked that one. And I have no clue about why the rules are that way. I think the dumbest rule in sports is colleges taking sack yardage off of rushing.
Yeah.
Which sacks have absolutely positively nothing to do with the running game. And the morons that came up with that, I'm guessing like 100 years ago, you'd think the morons running the NCAA would change it.
Tell us what you really feel, John.
He didn't even respond
well,
to my question.
Don't you guys agree with me?
No,
that's
absolutely
just preposterous.
Yeah, here's the thing. It's not like you look it up on the dictionary. Like there's a word, how you spell a word in the definition in thesaurus or Webster's. Different people use that stat differently. It depends on if you're right in covering a high school or college or pro. I mean, I know pro, they got their own thing, but you're right. For example, you might have a guy get sacked 8 times for 74 yards, and it goes against the team rushing yardage. And
it makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, I know. I know. I know. All right, I do have a question for you. I'm not one to actually look at a specific call and then debate it and then hang on to it. For example, the butt fumble with Texas Tech and that lingered for them and whatever, or a game, whatever. My point is, do you think, John, that they've now overcomplicated the game so much, it's not whether a penalty has been committed, it's the fact that there are so many delays in the game, and pass interference is now another one that they're reviewing that they'll never overturn?
Well, that's ridiculous. I think that will be taken out. It was on a one-year trial basis, and they're not calling it, so if you're not going to call it, why even debate it?
I agree.
So I think they'll take it out afterward, and but I'll say this, if they can, and they do get some of them right, they do change some of them. I'm all for changing them because I remember what it was like when Tech Schramm started pushing for replay back in the late 70s after Mike Renfro and Dan Pastorini's pass in Pittsburgh in the AFC Championship game was called a bobble. And it created a huge controversy and was used as an example of why they need replay. I remember how many used to be bad. You know, it's like in baseball. People go crazy and they want the electronic ump. Well, you know what? Take away the little square there that shows people if it's in or out. Get rid of that TV graphic and you won't have near as much controversy. Instant replay, high definition TV have made the officials and umpires and referees' jobs almost impossible. By and large, they do a good job. And the bottom line is you want them to do everything they can to get the call correct.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Paul.
Are you pro Sky Judge at all?
Yeah, every coach wanted a sky judge, and I've seen so many examples this year where, say, a flag was thrown and the first replay you see shouldn't be a penalty. So before they take 15 steps, a guy upstairs could see it and call down and say, pick up the flag. That way they wouldn't have to meet and talk about it or review it. So, yes, the coaches wanted that, and the NFL owners did not. And I think that we will get it.
Do you think, though, that the pass interference, which why even do trial? If they do a trial, but 7 games into the season, Goodell writes a memo, cut the crap. We don't need to do that. Do you feel like the guys in New York on these pass interference calls like we saw a couple of last night are basically just shooting the middle finger at the league office?
I think Alberto Riveron, who's the supervisor of officials, he and his office make all those calls in New York. I think that he and his office don't do a good job. I think Dean Blandino did a better job, and, of course, Fox hired him to go with Pereira. And those guys are real good, and I wish they had Blandino back because I just think he would have done a better job.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Appreciate your time.
Check them, guys.
That's John McClain, Houston Chronicle. Baylor alum, Trib alum.
He's so
Waco, Texas
nervous
alum.
To share his opinions.
Yeah. Championship Decision in Business is partnering with Sean Hunt, UBO Business Services. Their 94% first-time fix rate, leaving copier service competitors in the dust. Call Sean today at 254-772-1600, UBO Business Services. I've said this. I have a printer that's in my office, and it's been flawless. But the other day, a red light popped on. And the first thing I was asked is there enough paper in the machine? Well, yes, there was. So then all of a sudden, for the first time, I saw something that, like, oh, my God. Because if you ever had one of those copiers and something jams and it takes you a pint of whiskey to want to go into the machine to try to find where that jam is. This was something where I pushed the flashing red button. Everything worked. Boom. Moved on. Usually it's kind of like going to the dentist, except if it's Dr. Steve Childress, because that's a great experience. It's like a copy machine that all of a sudden doesn't work is a panic situation. Not with UBO Business Services. 455, this is ESPN Central Texas.
This high school football segment with Midway High School head coach Jeff Hume is brought to you by Bush's Chicken, Heritage Square Apartments, Leal's Mexican Restaurant, Truax Plumbing Service, and Halo Athletic Center.
There is something about that M on your chest or on the jersey or on the helmet or anywhere in the fieldhouse that represents a standard. Do you feel like that's what you met on Friday against Temple?
Yeah, I do, and that's a great way to look at it because we talk about that all the time. We talk about the excellence here, the expectations here, and every kid that comes through this program, starting in seventh grade, knows about it, hears about it. And, all you got to do is drive down Hewitt Drive and see the flags flying, and we're one community rallied around the Panthers, and so it was nice to see the kids do that. I think we're starting to get on a roll at a good time. And pretty happy about it.
All right, so now you have a chance. You have at least, if you take care of business, have a chance to, well, be the number one seed, but you have to play and win at Belton. They have something on the line as well, which makes this game rather intriguing.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not going to be an easy game by any means. Anytime Midway and Belton go against each other in any sport, it's a dogfight. And so, we've got to be ready to go. All phases of the game, offense, defense, special teams, and we got to go down and take care of business.
Their quarterback, Ruben Jimenez, is dangerous. They've really been beat up. They've had like 20 players out. You've had years when things like that have happened as well. Have you and Sam Skidmore talked much about what he's had to deal with this year?
Yeah, Sam and I are good friends. We see each other quite a bit. And, it's one of those deals where it's just a crazy year for him. Like you said, he's been snake bit on some injuries, some key guys. And, but I know this, watching their film, they're plugging away, they're getting after it, and they're going to be ready to go.
ESPN Central Texas.
Tired of searching for your next apartment home? No one wants to drive around aimlessly, wasting gas, looking at one place after another. Let Heritage Square end your search. Their courteous and professional on-site staff will have you relaxing by their crystal clear pool in no time, letting all the stress of moving just float away. Call them at 254-420-1500. Heritage Square. It's more than a place to call home.
If you have a clogged toilet or drain, a water leak, or water heater problem, check out TrueXPlumbing.com. They can also help you with new construction projects and kitchen and bathroom remodels. If it's plumbing related, TrueX Plumbing Service can handle it. License RMP 18395.
Waco's newest gym, Halo Athletic Center at 5725 Bagby Avenue, right behind Region 12 and across the highway from Central Texas Marketplace, where motivation, inspiration, and hard work are the driven force. With a state-of-the-art equipment, indoor and outdoor track, locker rooms, showers, yoga, and bar classes by Duality Yoga, body competition, and CBD, all under one roof where we rise above. Come join us at Halo Athletic Center and be a part of the change. Your change.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Craig Smoke with an ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update. City Tire and Battery specializes in alignments, brakes, tune-up, suspension work, and oil changes. Check them out at 1502 South Valley Mills Drive in Waco. Number 16 Baylor men's basketball got their season started off on the right note earlier today with a resounding 105-61 victory over Central Arkansas at the Farrell Center. Sophomore guard Jared Butler hit 8 threes and led all scorers with 30 points. Up next, the Bears will take on Washington Friday night in Anchorage, Alaska. Tonight, the number 2 ranked Lady Bears, defending national champions, get their turn on the Farrell Center floor as they welcome in New Hampshire. Prior to the game, there will be a ceremony to unveil the Lady Bears' third national championship banner, and players will be presented with their championship rings. We'll have full coverage beginning at 5:30, tip-off at 6, right here on ESPN Central Texas. Tonight in the NBA, Spurs are on the road against the Atlanta Hawks. That tips at 6:30. Mavericks and Rockets have the night off.
SportsCenter every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas. KRZI Waco, K256BW Waco, ESPN Central Texas.
Here we go.
It's time for our weekly segment with David Hellman of DallasCowboys.com.
I'll have David. He's on hold with Garrett, putting bets down on that Alabama-LSU game. Lots of great response on the Bush's Chicken text line. Again, more and more people concerned about what happens if Baylor keeps winning because of coaches and searches and all that. Please, calm down. We've discussed the college football playoff. David Hellman covers the Cowboys, but we have to start with this. Alabama and LSU. You puckered up yet, buddy?
I've been puckered up for a week. I keep it's college football. It's one versus number two. It's very exciting and fun for everybody else. Not so much for yours truly. I don't know if you're aware of this, but LSU hasn't beaten Alabama in a decade. So just a whole lot of stress, and I imagine it's only going to get worse as the week goes along.
Yeah, we were going to bring that up.
I saw your picture about Divinity where you just put yourself in the burning room there.
I mean, it's classic LSU. Of course we have one of our better players suspended the week heading into the biggest game of the year. It was Devin White last year. It's Michael Divinity this year. Bring it on. Why would LSU be allowed to have good things? What sense would that make?
Golly. You act like they haven't won a game in 100 years.
They haven't won a game against Alabama in 10 years. And when you're LSU, that's really the only one that matters.
Yeah, okay.
Bad to say, but that's where we are. I mean, they're on the mountaintop, and I keep telling people, like, I don't really even care what happens with the playoff race. If LSU beats Alabama, it'll be a season well spent, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, then they'll go play them again. They'll have to be forced to play them again.
As soon as I said that, I thought about that. Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, the committee will give them a mulligan like they always do. Alabama never beats anybody, and they always get the benefit of the doubt. It's a joke.
All right. By the way, I'm never
I could go all day.
There was a time, and he did for a long time, and this is a great example. Switzer and Oklahoma owned Osborne in Nebraska throughout the 70s. And then one year they finally beat Billy Sims in Oklahoma on a fumble inside their 10. And the reward was they got to play him in the Orange Bowl. It's an impossible situation. It was like,
I'll go to my grave being unhappy that LSU had the greatest regular season in the history of the sport of college football, and Alabama didn't beat anybody impressive. Lost to LSU at home, got a mulligan. Thanks Iowa State for beating Oklahoma State, and just absolutely ruining the best season in the history of the sport, because LSU would have housed that Oklahoma State team by 50. And instead they lose to Bama, and this horrible dynasty of evil is created, and it's just it's a source of consternation for me and LSU fans everywhere.
Happier things, David.
I'm sorry. Can you tell that this series is in my head a little bit?
Yeah. No, you can work it through with your therapist, too. I think that's important for you later on. Cowboys last night, the Black Cat comes along, the game changes. Kind of a bizarre night. Uneven early on, but your overall thoughts on what they did in New York last night?
It kind of felt like a snapshot of what we've seen all season, to be honest with you. And like, I hate to feel like a downer about a double digit win against a division rival on the road. Obviously, all wins are good wins in the NFL. Style points don't matter, but it honestly reminded me a lot of the Green Bay game, at least from an offensive standpoint. You know, they were moving the ball at will up and down the field, but they keep shooting themselves in the foot. Interception on the first play of the game, Randall Cobb fumbles, just turnovers, untimely penalties. They're settling for field goals, and it didn't come back to bite them because the New York Giants are not a good football team, but we saw that contribute to them falling into a huge hole against the Packers, you know, just 3 or 4 weeks ago. So it was kind of frustrating from that standpoint. I do have to give the defense way more credit. You know, the defense couldn't hold up its end of the bargain in those losses to the Packers and the Jets. They certainly did that against the Giants. I thought that was as good as the pass rushes looked. Michael Bennett looks like he's well worth the 7th-round pick they gave up to get him. So if they can keep doing that against better teams, then more power to them, and that'll give the offense more time to get humming. But It's just frustrating when week after week it seems like it takes a quarter and a half to 2.5 quarters for the offense to get cranking.
You know what? I saw this, and I know that it would never happen, but the way they ran the ball with Zeke, I thought was one of those nights. And, yes, they still had success with Dak in the passing game. Honestly, David, I honestly believe that if they would have given him the ball 33 times last night, he would have run for 300 yards.
I agree with you. Yeah, I mean, it was funny. He even said he thought it was like the easiest 140 he's ever run for. He didn't even need to break tackles. There were so many wide open holes for him. I thought, you know, I mentioned the pass rush. It was maybe the best game the offensive line has played this season too. They didn't allow a sack. They absolutely bulldozed the Giants front seven, which we talked about it last week. It's a pretty talent poor group, you know, in New York, but. Like I said, style points aren't important in the NFL, so all credit to them. And it's, you know, it's good to know that as much as we're talking about the Cowboys passing the ball better with Kellen Moore, that's still going to be their bread and butter. And as frustrating as it was to watch them at times last night, we, you know, the old cliches about running games travel and running games show up in bad weather, that's important if you're a team that's interested in playing, you know, meaningful games in December and January. So, encouraging to see that, although not necessarily surprising, you know, given the Cowboys' blueprint over the last few years.
David, have you ever seen a player be involved in four different personal fouls and not get called on any of them?
No, I have not. And, man, I remember Will Hernandez from his draft cycle. I think it was either 2 or 3 years ago. I think it was the year they drafted Connor Williams, if my memory holds up. And I remember the thing everybody said about him was he's got a mean streak. And, yeah, I think that's fair to say. I also think it's probably fair to say he's a bit of a sore loser because as soon as the score got a little bit lopsided, he got a little bit chippy. And, yeah, I've never seen anything like that. I'm still at a loss for how Xavier Woods drew that personal foul call. But it is what it is. I mean, it was bizarre, but the Cowboys won by 20 points on the road. So that's Will Hernandez's problem.
I think it was not fair they were picking on him. It's kind of he's the victim here. David, when it comes to what Michael Bennett brought to the table, and again, it's a trade that I never saw on the radar. I know they were looking for defensive line help, and you had mentioned that as well. But it's not as stunning and invigorating and the launching pad of Amari Cooper by any means, but is this going to be one of those that's a subtle trade right before the deadline that ends up, you know, Quinn might get hurt or D. Lawrence, whatever, or just the depth of what he brings to the table?
This is the type of trade I've been dying for the Cowboys to pull off for a few years. It reminds me of a little bit of the trade the Eagles did for Tim Jernigan a few years ago. You know, you're not giving up something super valuable, but it has the ability to pay dividends in multiple ways. Obviously, you saw what Bennett can do as a player. Jason Garrett just said in his press conference, you know, he played upward of 40 snaps in that game. He clearly made an impact. He played on the inside and the outside. He collapsed the pocket. He made life easier on the rest of the Cowboys pass rushers. Then on top of that, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, I want to see this carry over against better competition. But if he plays like this down the stretch and gets himself another contract with another team because the Cowboys did cut a year off his deal, then he goes and signs somewhere else, and you get a compensatory pick for him. And that's successful GMing right there. You get 9 games of high-caliber play out of Bennett. Hopefully he propels your defense to a playoff push. And then you get something for him in return that might even be more valuable than what you gave up. So all things considered, it's just a win-win-win. Like I said, I mean, it's one game. But, man, if it wasn't a very encouraging debut for him.
It's like getting a pitcher at the trade deadline who might not have years left in his contract, but somehow you get something in return even when he leaves. You know, in baseball, you don't. He's gone. You know,
you can give him a qualifying offer.
Yeah, you can. You can. I was really interested in how disruptive he would be because that's what he is. He's a disruptive player without question. Do you see that the Cowboys in their record is the 12-1 record against their own division – a compliment to the Cowboys, or is it because the NFC East is a dumpster fire?
It can probably be both. I mean, I can't outright call it a dumpster fire. I mean, the Eagles won a Super Bowl not that long ago, and they made the playoffs last year. So, I mean, I still think that's one of the better rosters in the league, even if they're not playing like it recently. But even still, I mean, the AFC East has been a dumpster fire for a decade plus, and like nobody really seems to take that away from the Patriots. I mean, the number one line in getting to the playoffs in the NFL is winning your division. And we always say, oh, throw the records out when you play your division. Mm-hmm. These are division rivals. They play each other twice a year. They know each other better than anybody, so it's always going to be tough. Well, it hasn't looked that tough for the Cowboys in recent memory. They're 17-5 against the division since Dak took over as the starting quarterback. That's 77% dominant. These aren't super impressive wins. I'm not trying to convince anybody of that, but in a league where winning your division guarantees you a home playoff game, it's a heck of a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. It's not their fault that those three teams, you mentioned, you're right, the Eagles, I wasn't trying to overlook the fact that they won it all a couple of years ago, but it's really, you win the games you're supposed to win, and then you break even with the other ones, right? About six
or
eight
others. If you handle business in your division, you've got six wins.
Yep.
And you probably only need three or four more to make the playoffs. So, not saying, you know, you'd prefer to win 12 or 13, but like you said, you know, take care of the division and break even, and you'll probably be where you want to be.
Ball, anything else?
Nope.
Hey, good luck sleeping this week, David.
It's going to be rough, guys. I appreciate your thoughts and prayers.
We do. We are thinking about you dearly. It's a David Hellman, DallasCowboys.com, Bama LSU. We've had to deal with him before the Texas game because that went a lot because you're in the state of your favorite team is playing against a team that there's a million fans in the state. 5:11 is the time when we come back. Days on Earth, Lady Bears basketball, 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock or just after that, the tip from the Farrell Center. Men's basketball, Paul, 105-61. What was it?
Yes, 105-61.
We heard earlier today from Macy O'Teague, who had 18. Obviously, Butler was fantastic, and they will look really good. This is ESPN Central Texas.
Anders Auto and Fleet Services provide complete service and repair on all domestic and most imports. Anything under the hood, Anders Auto and Fleet Service is the go-to for your vehicle. At Anders Auto and Fleet Service, they use quality parts. They're a NAPA care center, and they have a 12-month or 12,000-mile warranties available for your peace of mind. They also have free shuttle service for your convenience.
Family-owned and operated. Go by and see B.W. Ponder and the whole gang at Ponder's Auto and Fleet Service. Find them online at ponderautofleet.com.
Security Bank of Crawford offers the citizens of Bell, Bosque, Coryell, and McLennan counties competitive rates on a variety of commercial and consumer deposit accounts, plus certificates of deposits in ranges of 30 days to 5 years. And Security Bank of Crawford is also here for commercial, consumer, and real estate loans. So if you live in Bosqueville, China Spring, Clifton, Crawford, Evant, Oglesby, Prairie Chapel, or Valley Mills, do yourself a favor and check out the friendly employees at Security Bank of Crawford, member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Texas Farm Bureau Insurance, protecting Texans since 1952.
Since studies show more and more people use their mobile devices to conduct banking business, Community Bank and Trust is keeping pace with the latest technology. Both commercial and personal customers can make mobile deposits. With our responsive mobile app, you can complete any banking task right from your phone. With Community Bank and Trust, enjoy state-of-the-art banking. Anywhere, anytime, on any device. Member FDIC.
Don Chumidor is your home for the best cigars in all of Central Texas. They also are your home for all the fresh coffee beans, if that's what you want as well. I go there when I do to go and look inside their 48-foot walk-in humidor loaded up with some of the great brands of cigars around the country, but also around the world, from Macanudo to H. Upman to Arturo Fuente to also Romeo and Julieta. Every of all those brands there, and there's a dozen of brands or so that, again, are the elite brands of cigars. And the Churchill length, the longest of lengths for cigars. Plus, if you want, to buy something for, and it's a little bit early for us to start touching on Christmas, but, you know, just down the road, put it in your mind. Somebody who smokes cigars wants them. There are humidors that will hold 3 or 4, some that will hold 50. And again, the torch lighters to light them and the cutters to cut them. It's Don Chumidor. Tell Kel and Ashley Smokey sent you in the Townwest Shopping Center off Valley Mills in Waco.
Hey, it's Matt Mosley's show brought to you by Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics, your Central Texas Chevy truck headquarters. Check out our November Fall Savings event featuring our best truck deals of the year. Come see the difference so many of our friends rave about: transparent pricing, the highest trade allowances, and a huge inventory of new Chevrolets for you to choose from. Or check us out online at TurnerChevy.com. That's Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics.
Sickle Bears.
Okay, so what's the most important part about your house? Nope, it's not that bar or the theater room with that sound system. Think about it. The most important thing is your roof. It has to withstand all that Mother Nature can throw your way, so it makes sense to have the best. McAdams & Sons Roofing is your first choice when it comes to protecting that valuable asset. Experienced professionals using only the best materials. So for new construction, re-roofs, repairs, or remodels, for composition and metal roofs, think McAdams & Sons Roofing first. And now McAdams & Sons Roofing is installing seamless gutters to give your home a bright new look and added value. McAdams & Sons Roofing will come out and take a look at your roof and handle all the insurance process for you. Don't let any fly-by-night company look at your roof. Let a real professional you trust do the work. Put McAdams & Sons over 40 years experience to work for you. Check it out at McAdamsRoofing.com. That's McAdamsRoofing.com. Or give them a call today at 254-799-2949. Because you don't want a kid with your house's lid.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Craig Smoke with an ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update. VersaLift Tire Manufacturing of Waco is currently hiring for welders and service techs. Drop by their location at 7601 Imperial Drive to apply. Number 16 Baylor men's basketball got their season started off on the right note earlier today with a resounding 105-61 victory over Central Arkansas at the Farrell Center. Sophomore guard Jared Butler hit 8 threes and led all scorers with 30 points. Up next, the Bears will take on Washington Friday night in Anchorage, Alaska. Tonight, the number 2 ranked Lady Bears, defending national champions, get their turn on the Farrell Center floor as they welcome in New Hampshire. Prior to the game, there will be a ceremony to unveil the Lady Bears' third national championship banner, and players will be presented with their championship rings. We'll have full coverage beginning at 5:30, tip-off at 6, right here on ESPN Central Texas. Tonight in the NBA, Spurs are on the road against the Atlanta Hawks. That tips at 6:30. Mavericks and Rockets have the night off.
Sports Center every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas.
All right, here we go. Days on is the Earth Round. 1605 Gunpowder Plot. Catholic conspirator Paul Catalina attempts to blow up King James I.
Guy Fawkes, remember, the 5th of November.
And the British Parliament plot discovered. Fawkes caught, tortured, later executed along with 7 others. Celebrated ever since as Guy Fawkes Day, where his effigy is traditionally burned on a bonfire with fireworks.
Yeah. It's a weird day.
It's kind of a little bit gruesome after the 1773 John Hancock. He's a, used to be an old John. Wasn't there a John Hancock commercial?
Yeah.
Is there still?
I don't know.
Are they
I
in
mean,
business?
Yeah.
Elected moderator at a meeting that resolved that anyone who supports the Tea Act is an enemy to America.
I saw his grave last year.
Did you really?
When I was in Boston. Yes.
1872, American women's right to vote advocate Susan B. Anthony votes for Ulysses S. Grant. In 1937, Adolf Hitler informs his military leaders in a secret meeting of his intentions of going to war. That aged badly. Mm-hmm. 1941, Japanese naval staff officers Suzuki and Maijima leave Pearl Harbor.
Yes, and then they spent the next month plotting the
Pearl
attack.
Harbor yeah. attack. In 1955, the date returned to in Back to the Future by Marty McFly.
Yeah.
I think I actually watched that.
November 5th, 1955. That's the day that Doc Brown discovered the flux capacitor.
Okay.
What makes time travel possible.
1967, New Orleans Saints, their first ever victory. The expansion Saints beat Philadelphia 31-24. 1977, Mark Wilson of Brigham Young set was then a passing record of 571 yards.
Does it Patrick Mahomes hold it now?
Does he?
I believe he does.
Against Oklahoma?
Yeah.
In 1978, Oakland Raiders head coach John Madden becomes the 13th coach to win 100 NFL games. And he had an unbelievable record at 100 wins and like 21 losses. It wasn't like that, but something crazy. Mm. Former Dolphins running back Mercury Morris sentenced up to 20 years for drug trafficking, conspiracy, and possession of cocaine in 1981. 9 years after the perfect team, of which he was a part,
he had
of a great running back, Jim Kick, Larry Zonka, and Mercury Morris.
So the year, I heard a really sad story about Mercury Morris. So the year after that he got sentenced, the jail he was in, the prison he was in, was just down the road from the Orange Bowl where the Dolphins played at the time. And while they're having the 10-year anniversary of the perfect team, he could hear it from his jail cell. Yeah.
1993, first NBA game in Alamo Dome. The Spurs beat the Warriors by six. In 2017, in Sunderland Springs, Texas, 26 dead, 20 injured at a church from a gunman. Paul, birthdays.
Born on this date in 1952, Bill Walton, Hall of Fame center, born in La Mesa, California. Absolutely terrible color analyst, but still fun to watch.
I think he's fantastic.
He's fit, but he's not ever talking about
basketball.
I think
Will Hernandez, number 71 for the Giants, is a victim.
I love that. He's hilarious and maybe not even meaning to be. In 1959, lame Canadian singer Bryan Adams. I stand by it. In 1974, Jerry Stackhouse, American NBA guard.
North Carolina great.
North Carolina. In 1978, Bubba Watson, American golfer, was born in Baghdad, Florida. I've never been to Baghdad, Florida.
Where's that at?
I have no idea. I've never been, you know, I've never even heard of it. And Bubba, he's not popular, Bubba.
Who?
Bubba is not really popular. He rubs people the wrong way, right?
Tom Hanks?
No, Bubba Watson.
Oh, yeah, he's a little bit, yeah. A little different.
Yeah.
He's a hell of a player, though.
Yeah, he
God, he hits the ball a long way for a tall,
skinny dude. In 1992, Odell Beckham Jr., Cleveland Browns wide receiver, was born in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
That it?
Yeah.
By the way, the catch that Golden Tate made.
Oh, that was ridiculous.
That was very...
I think that's when I text you and said the Cowboys are going to lose.
No, yeah.
Because they're making
plays.
Did
they score? I think they threw a little pass to the tight end.
Yeah, that was when they did score the touchdown.
Because they got down in the red zone like four times and kicked field goals most of the time. And what did I tell you, by the way, glass half empty Cowboys fan?
Yeah, you told me.
What did I say?
They're going to kick field goals.
You cannot beat the Cowboys unless you're the Saints by scoring just kicking field goals. Mm-hmm. All right. Those who died, George M. Cohen, father of musical comedy, died of cancer at 64 in 1942. Is it Vinette? Carol, American actress, first African-American woman to direct Broadway in 1972. Don't bother me. I can't cope. Dies of heart disease and diabetes at 80. That was in 2002. And Charles V. Bush, African-American pioneer, first ever U.S. Air Force Academy graduate, U.S. Supreme Court page, dies from colon cancer at 72. Charles V. Bush died in 2012. All right, we have Lady Bears basketball, is that right, coming up at 5:30?
Yes.
And when they are unveiling that national championship banner and all the good jewelry, they'll show everybody as well. So good luck and have fun with that. Baylor men's won big today. Thanks to Macy O'Teague, thanks to Mac Roach, John McClain, David Hellman, for Paul Catalina, Patrick Garrett. I'm David Smoke. Good night.